I have a secret. I leak.
Somebody would give you a bit of a tickle, and then the next thing you know, I make a like a little spritz, you know what I mean?
1 in 3 women have this issue.
Young women, middle-aged women, old ladies.
And my sister said, have you ever heard of poise? I said, poise? What the heck is poise?
If I had poise, let me show you what I would have looked like.
Uh-huh. Every great woman deserves a great pad. Poise liners are specifically designed for light bladder leakage. Stay comfortably dry with poise.
It felt awesome. I hadn't hit the ball like this. This was fun. To be able to hit the ball with that much flush feeling through the golf ball.
Woods is 6 shots behind the leader, Adam Scott. He's been out nursing an injury for the past 3 months. Well, 75-year-old Myrtle Rose was having a nice, leisurely joyride above Illinois in her kit model plane Wednesday when suddenly she was intercepted by 2 F-16 fighter jets. Turns out she'd flown into unrestricted airspace because President Obama was in town for the night. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath event, get a Savannah 24-inch Cognac vanity and matching mirror. A $249 value, now just $99. A price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lighting, and paint. It all starts at the Renew and Redo Bath event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Not all oil change deals are created equal. Case in point, right now at Advance Auto Parts, a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and filter are just $17.49 after mail-in rebate. That includes an oil filter with a value up to $11.99. At other major retailers, the value of their included filter may be much less. You can end up having to pay more just to get the filter you need. Better value at Advance Auto Parts. One more way, service is our best part. See store for details.
The question on millions of minds right now does not have a clear answer. Was yesterday's Wall Street plunge, the worst in almost 3 years, the culmination of a market correction, or the start of something a lot worse? This morning, some early investors are betting on at least the possibility of the latter. S&P futures are falling 8 points, NASDAQ futures down 15, Dow futures down 80. As we wait for the government's comprehensive July employment reading this morning, expectations pretty tepid, a gain of 75,000 jobs. Europe's market's down for a second day, losing up to 2% as worry over worsening credit engulfs market sentiment. Asian markets fell 4% today, more closely resembling Wall Street yesterday. The company we taxpayers spent more to bail out than any other company says its financial crisis is over. AIG, still 74% owned by us, says it made a $1.8 billion profit last quarter and says it's strong enough now to survive another financial meltdown. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions, because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
Not all oil change deals are created equal.
Case in point, right now at Advance Auto Parts, a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and filter are just $17.49 after mail-in rebate. That includes an oil filter with a value up to $11.99. At other major retailers, the value of their included filter may be much less. You can end up having to pay more just to get the filter you need. Better value at Advance Auto Parts. One more way, service is our...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tony Trupiano on a Friday morning, and it's a pleasure to be with you as always after a tumultuous day yesterday where we saw the Dow take one wild ride, dropping 4.31%, down 512.76 points in obviously extremely active trading. And what does that mean? Where are we headed? What is this toss salad we call life right now? I'm telling you, we are in quite a conundrum, are we not? And you have to wonder, after taking a look at this, of course, the right is going to pin this all on President Barack Obama. The left is going to say, well, this is actually a Republican-fueled conundrum, and I'm going to explain that to you in just a moment. We're going to have the middle ground who says we need peace, and the middle is probably what's correct here. But the majority of the reason, and it's just not going to fly with most of you, the majority of the reason we had problems with the Dow yesterday after I did literally 2.5 hours of reading on this last night was it's the foreign markets that are really causing the disruption in our internal markets. We lost somewhere over $300 billion in the economy yesterday. $300 billion. But and certainly some of it has to do with the uncertainty of the debt ceiling deal. That is a small percentage of it, but it does factor in. And you begin to wonder, as we will explore as we work our way through this day today, how we begin to turn this thing around. The FAA got a small reprieve, as we'll find out in a little bit, but just a small reprieve. How do we move forward? All right. I want to welcome everybody to the show this morning. It is going to be a busy day, as we promised yesterday. The chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and congresswoman from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, will be our guest in the 7 o'clock hour. We will visit with our political insider and political strategist, Joe DeSano, in the 8 o'clock hour, and a lot of you in between all of that, and me and Jeff and Todd and everybody else. So I want to welcome you all to the program this morning. Certainly, you are always welcome to join us. The toll-free number, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Got an amazing response to our abbreviated but important interview with Bob King with the UAW yesterday. I want to thank those of you who reached out to us and expressed your gratitude for having him on the show. You know, it's amazing when he speaks the optimism that he exudes just by speaking. I think that says something about his leadership style. No question that's true. And the UAW is fighting hard for all of us right now. And obviously because they are so visual. You know, the UAW is out there, and auto workers are a significant percentage of those of us who are employed throughout the Metro Detroit area, and it would make sense that they should be front and center. But their leadership is critical, and certainly a lot of people feel comforted that knowing that Bob King sits in that leadership position. So that's that. And then, of course, we're approaching the weekend. I'm very excited, Jeff, because this weekend, actually tomorrow, at about noon or so, I will be a co-host of the Wyandotte Democratic Club annual picnic, which is quite a to-do. They really draw quite a big audience. And so I'm happy to be out there tomorrow. You know, I used to own a restaurant in Wyandotte, and I couldn't get there when I owned the restaurant, and it was, you know, about, I don't know, 3 blocks from where the restaurant was because I was just so busy. So I'm happy to be out there tomorrow, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I've got a lot of friends in Wyandotte, so it's, in a way, it's a homecoming for me, to be honest with you.
I'm going to go downriver as well. I think I'm me and the fam are going to head down to Allen Park Street Fair today.
Oh, okay.
So well, looking forward to
if,
that.
If you know, I know that you don't live near Wyandotte, but if you're in that area tomorrow, about noonish, go to Bishop Park, which is right on the Detroit River. It's a beautiful park. Beautiful community. Have you ever been to Wyandotte?
Actually, that's where my mom's family's from. So, yeah, I used to go to Wyandotte all the time.
Okay, well, it's a beautiful community, as you know. You're obviously very familiar with Wyandotte if your mom used to be from there. So, yeah, it's. I'm very excited to have been asked to take part, and I'm bringing some of my coffee mugs with me as gifts.
Now, that's exciting.
Well, you know, I posted one during the show yesterday on the Facebook page, and people were kind of chomping at the bit to get them. We're not quite ready to give them away on air. We will. But the folks, the good folks in Wyandotte, I'm going to bring a couple cases with me and some bumper stickers and give some stuff away tomorrow.
That is reason to tune in or to show up right there.
To show up, absolutely.
The coffee cups are outstanding.
Well, they're travel coffee mugs, and they're, you know, they're a good, they're dishwasher safe, of course. We spend a little extra on them because the people are worth it. I like them. I don't know if you've used yours yet, but I use obviously mine every day.
I see that. Yeah, I've tested it out. It works. It's nice.
Well, it better work. It works. I don't think you've used it.
And on top of it, I look stylish.
Well, you do look stylish. Just having it with you,
right,
frankly, adds to the allure of who we are.
I've been trying to drive around, you know, where the young, good-looking ladies are.
Ah, you're catching on.
And I have the coffee cup in hand as I'm leaning out the window a little bit, see if it draws any interest.
Is it working?
Well, of course it is. I mean, why wouldn't that work?
Of course. Where was my head? Why did I even need to ask that question? Anyway, we'll be giving those away soon enough on the show, but I'll be bringing some of that stuff out to Wyandotte with me tomorrow. Looking forward to spending the day out there with Mayor Joe Peterson, who's a good friend, and should be a fun day, and the weather's going to be great. So looking forward to that. Our Tigers lose yesterday afternoon in a game that wasn't even close. Looked sloppy. You and I debated it a little bit earlier on this morning. It is what it is. We're 3 games up, moving into a weekend, a 9-game road trip for the Detroit Tigers, and an opportunity to really put some distance, because they do play them Cleveland Indians on this road trip. This is a good opportunity for them to put some distance between them and that second place ball club.
I've been saying it for the start, smoke and mirrors. They took 1 game out of 3 with the Boston Red Sox, and really all 3 games were dogfights. Maybe yesterday's game. It's not talking about the Indians.
Right.
And the Indians have a problem scoring runs. They didn't last night, but they I think the pitching that they'll face against the Tigers, I would say the Tigers have to win at least 2.
Well,
if they don't sweep
we've
them.
Got on this road trip, we've got Kansas City, we've got Cleveland, and Baltimore.
I think you're right, Baltimore.
Yeah. So, you know, well, the only reason I know that is Jeff and I, and we're not trying to fool anybody, our interview today with the chairwoman of the DNC, we recorded yesterday afternoon, although we tried to fool you and make it sound like we didn't.
Just giving secrets away.
Well, we're not giving secrets away, because at one point we talk about the FAA deal that, happened, but I didn't know it happened because it was literally happening as we were doing the interview. So sometimes things just don't 100% work out the way you plan them to, but so 99% of it. Anyway. But
she played along very well, by the way, when you hear the interview.
Yeah. No.
She mentions that when we were doing it, it's funny because she says, Well, yesterday.
Late Thursday. Yeah, late Thursday.
Right.
She tried to make me look good is what she tried to do. She was covering my butt for me.
She was very, she must be very skilled in doing taped interviews.
Well, you know, obviously, as the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, she does a lot of media. You and I watch a lot of political TV. We've seen her on air nonstop over the last week. I mean, she's been on everywhere. And she's very good at it, and I'm excited to bring you this interview. I thought it was a dynamic interview. I saw you filing your nails during it, but I thought it was a good interview.
Well, yeah, you can't judge that. I file my nails constantly. I just can't
stop
leave them alone.
It. Okay, I'm gonna stop picking on you because now you're just going along with it, and there's no fun for me in this when you go along with it. Anyway, you know, and we'll get to that again in the next hour. We'll get to that interview, but as we were sitting there. Before, you know, she called in, we were waiting for her to call in. We've been having problems with the cable here in the studio and actually throughout the entire building. And the TV keeps freezing. So it froze on the Tiger's schedule for the next week. So it was only up for about 12 minutes. That's why I knew their schedule so well.
It's enough to get ingrained into your forehead.
Yeah, it is.
That's exactly. That's why we know that they play Cleveland twice in the next 2 weeks.
Right. And it's important that we do well. I'd really like to, there's no reason we can't put some significant difference. I know I'm dreaming. I said yesterday afternoon, and of course you let me get away with it, and you said nothing, but I said there's no reason at the end of the next 9 games that they couldn't be 10 games up. And I still believe that. You know, Cleveland, of course, has to play poorly, which they've proven they can do.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, July was not a good month for them, and they're playing, what, they're at 500, maybe one game over 500 now?
Well, I know this fact. I think I know it. Since May 24th, I did this the other day, so I don't know. It's probably worse, actually. Since May 24th, they were 15 games under 500. And then they lost 2 out of 3 to Boston, so I'm assuming maybe they're 16 games under 500.
Since the 24th of May.
Right. When they were 7 games up in the division, and now they're 3 games back. So.
Right. Well, that's quite a swing. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. And again, we've got a lot to get to. We've got some audio to share with you as well. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. How catastrophic is the Dow falling? What does it mean in the bigger picture? And how racist is America? Well, those are just some of the things we'll get to on First Shift. Thank you for punching in this morning. We'll take a quick break here on 1310 WDTW, and we'll be right back.
Got a question or comment?
Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things looking just fine out there on the roadways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns at this point. Tonight, there'll be some road construction. Saturday night, too. Both of these are in the overnight. 94 westbound between 8th Mile and Cratchit will be completely shut down so they can do some road work there. So keep that in mind if you're over on the east side. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 70. And then tomorrow, partly sunny for your weekend. Maybe a slight chance for a shower or thunderstorm, a high once again in the mid-80s. Currently, it's fair and 68 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Triviano coming up right after this.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Triviano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Triviano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions, because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
Start your engines, Detroit.
because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy teeth.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday morning. Welcome back to First Shift. You know, I have to tell you that there's no conspiracy theory involved here at all. It's clear that the Republican Party had great disdain for this president from the moment he was elected, as we have in the infamous conversation with Mitch McConnell, the senator, minority leader, who said that his number one goal was to see that Obama would never be reelected. And certainly the Republican Party en masse has done that. The Tea Party has only added to the vitriol. And now we find ourselves in a situation where it is clear the Republican Party doesn't want the country to do well. Now, before, you know, those conservatives of you that may be listening this morning get all up in arms, let's look at some facts. The facts are, you know, corporate America is doing quite well. They're just not hiring, and they're not hiring because there's no need for them to hire. We have what's called a jobless recovery. And our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day, by the way, is the Department of Labor Statistics will release the July reports. Do you think unemployment will stay static, go up, or go down? I haven't voted yet, but if I do vote, I think they're going to go up. I think we're going to see an increase in unemployment in July. And again, this jobless recovery in the midst of record corporate profits really does not spell good things for this country. With that said, the wealthy, the Republicans, are doing well, and so they're fine to let the economy continue to burn for a while, because it's not really affecting them. Now, certainly yesterday affected everybody. Anybody that has money in the markets were affected yesterday. But if you're not in the market long term, you know, shame on you. And if you are, you're not letting yesterday bother you. I assure you, people that make a sport or a living in the market, although they're concerned, they're not freaking out today. They're not. I'm just telling you, I've been at this game a long time. They're not freaking out. They know that things will get better with regard to the Dow and the NASDAQ. They will get better. You know, there's going to be a correction at some point. It may happen slowly, but they'll build up. It may happen quickly. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball in regard to that. But let's go to Rush Limbaugh, who so despises Democrats and despises no Democrat more than he's ever hated Barack Obama. This is the same Rush Limbaugh who said when Barack Obama announced as a senator that he would run for the presidency that we couldn't vote for him because he smoked cigarettes. Because smoking cigarettes has everything to do with somebody's leadership ability, right? Well, this is what Rush Limbaugh had to say yesterday, and I want you to pay special attention to a few references, and then tell me that my racism comments might not have a little validity. Go ahead.
That's scary. Now it's down 307. He's not even halfway done killing the economy. I don't want to think about what this country will look like when he's all the way there. This guy obviously has got a new role model, Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe. The next thing to look out for Obama to take the farms. Well, that's what Mugabe did. He took the white people's farms. That's the only place that had any money, yeah.
All right, so break that down. Is that a racist statement? Now, we know Rush Limbaugh has had his problems with racism. There's no question his infamous Monday Night Football debacle. There's no question that he has, offended those of color throughout his celebrated broadcasting career, and it has been celebrated. You know, we know that he makes $50 million plus dollars a year, so I don't think he's too concerned about what this country's going to look like when Obama's done ruining it. Is that man racist? Absolutely. There's no question it's true. That, what, this black man's going to take away the white man's farms? You know, Jeff, do you think that's on President Obama's agenda? Do you think he's sitting in the Oval Office in the West Wing, smoking a cigarette, going, gee, I think I'm going to take the white man's farm from him?
Yeah, I doubt that's the thought there.
All right. What, you know, and again, I'll be the first to admit it. I'll raise my hand. I'll stand up. My name is Tony Trupiano, and I have a problem. I bash Republicans. But I have a reason to. What is Rush Limbaugh's reason for bashing the President of the United States? As if the President of the United States, Jeff, is the only one that has anything to do with fiscal policy in this country. Now, let's take, for example, the Republican Party and the FAA. They reached a deal yesterday. You know, the FAA has been out of work for a couple weeks. They were decommissioned for a while. Okay? They came to a short-term deal that's only going to be in effect until they come back from recess. Basically going to put 70,000 people back to work. As I was doing some research on the show for today, I discovered something interesting in the Republicans' attempt to go after collective bargaining because not reauthorizing the FAA was about workers' rights. And it really was. I said it yesterday. Some of you wrote me and said you didn't believe me. Do your homework. It's true. That it cost us over $1 billion. The Republicans' insistence on not reauthorizing the FAA cost this country $1 billion in tax money. $1 billion. This is the same Republican Party that keeps on telling us what? That they're just trying to do what's best for this country. I can no longer believe it. I can no longer believe it. Now, I have to tell you, as I look at the Dow drops 512.76 points yesterday. It's down 4.31%. And I don't know how quickly we turn that around. If the job numbers are down today, all right, that will further depress the Dow. So we can expect to see that drop a little more. Corporate profits, again, continue to stay even or get better. But they're not hiring, and again, that's not a difficult equation, as I said in the last segment, to understand. So as we take a look at this, how do we begin to turn this around? We have a Republican Party that says they want to do what's best for America, yet they refuse to authorize the FAA, costing the country $1 billion in tax money. $1 billion. It's a lot of money. We can't recover that money. Now we've got to put people back to work. 74,000 people were working on construction projects, federally funded construction projects, all over this great United States of ours. They were laid off. They were furloughed. Some of these folks went out and found other jobs. Now for them to get these crews back together, it's going to take time, costing further dollars. We had lost, you know, federal excise taxes when the airlines, of course, couldn't collect for an agency that didn't exist. And the Republicans aren't taking any responsibility for this because they said, you know, this is, again, about collective bargaining. They don't believe that anybody attached to the FAA should be part of the collective bargaining process. There's no justification for this. It's just the way they feel. So stop and think long and hard about where the Republican Party is taking this country and what their responsibility in it is. Now, I you know, for those of you, again, that aren't paying attention to this issue, and the shame, and we'll talk about this a little bit with the chairwoman of the DNC, you know, we kind of took our eye off the ball. This was an important issue during the whole set debt ceiling debate. Unfortunately, we weren't paying attention. So, anyway, we'll come back. We got a caller on hold. Bob, we'll get to you as soon as we take this break. 888-552-3595. If you'd like to join us, I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll take a quick one right here and be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Little traffic update brought to you by JCPenney. Just a reminder that the Southfield Freeway northbound from 94 all the way up to Grand River is currently down to one lane because of road construction. And then after that, of course, it's closed between Grand River and the Lodge. I'm Russ with traffic.
At the JCPenney huge sale this Friday and Saturday, add up huge savings with JCP Cash. Earn $10, $15, or $20 off. No exclusions. Go to jcp.com to see everything on sale. JCPenney. Support ends at JCPenney. Not participating. Offers end August 6th.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high right around 86. Maybe some patchy fog this morning in some of the outlying areas, mostly cloudy, a low around 70 tonight, and then tomorrow, very slight chance for a shower, a thunderstorm, partly sunny, a high around 86 degrees. Currently at 68 and fair at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up right after this.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Thursday was a busy news day in Washington, D.C., even with the House of Representatives on vacation. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid stopped the Senate from recessing for August so a solution could be reached to put Federal Aviation Administration employees back to work. Reid worked out a deal where the Senate would pass the House's bill, which would extend FAA funding, until mid-September. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood agreed that if the Senate passed the bill, he would use his authority to issue waivers to communities that would be impacted by the GOP's attempt to defund smaller airports. The deal will put 4,000 FAA employees back to work and ensure 70,000 construction workers continue working. The GOP's shutdown has cost the country nearly $400 million in lost revenue. Much of that revenue would have come through federal aviation taxes. In some cases, the airlines are attempting to pocket those tax dollars. When asked about that issue on the Neil Cavuto show, Representative Eric Cantor didn't see any issues with the airlines taking taxpayer money.
What airlines have done is have stepped in and said, well, if we're not going to pay that money to the federal government, we're going to keep it towards our own bottom line. And I guess that's what business does.
If you traveled during the shutdown and paid for your ticket prior to July 23rd, you can ask your airline for a refund. If they refuse, their Internal Revenue Service has guidelines on its website for utilizing the organization to retrieve your money. In Ohio, the Secretary of State has officially put the Collective Bargaining Rights Stripping Bill, SB 5, on the November ballot. We Are Ohio collected more than 1.3 million signatures to put the legislation up for referendum when they only needed less than 300,000. Meanwhile, and not surprisingly, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce came out in support of the legislation. Governor John Kasich was the first endorsement the organization ever made in a gubernatorial race in more than a century. Concrete workers are back on the job at the World Trade Center, but the carpenters could soon be on the picket lines. The concrete workers have agreed to a contract negotiation extension and will stay on the job until at the least August 16th. If there isn't a deal by that time, they could be back on the sidewalks. If they do walk out again, they could have some company. The District Council of Carpenters voted on Wednesday to give their negotiator the power to call a strike. The negotiation deadline for those workers is August 15th.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary for Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind.
1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I don't have a specific reaction to the market. Markets go up and down. We obviously are monitoring the situation in Europe closely, and there's no question that this economy has faced headwinds this year, of a variety of them, including the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, the increase in oil prices, energy prices that resulted from the unrest in the Arab world, and the situation in Europe also. So our focus has to be on the things that we can control, which is to take the necessary measures, working with Congress, to ensure that our economy grows, that we create jobs. We took an important step towards creating economic certainty here in this country by resolving the debt ceiling crisis earlier this week. These are big issues, and our work is not done, and we need to continue to focus on what we can do to ensure that our economy grows and that it creates jobs.
All right, and that is Jay Carney, the White House spokesperson. We'll get more, get back onto that topic in just a moment, but he's been waiting on hold for a long time, so let me get to Bob. Bob, welcome to First Shift. Happy to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem, buddy. What's going on? What's on your mind this morning?
Well, Tony, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, if we could jump back to yesterday, your guest, David Holtz. I know he talked a little bit about the reelection of Debbie Stabenow. And before I get into that, Tony, I want to say I'm looking very much forward to the Schultz, the Wasserman Schultz interview today. Really looking forward to that. You know how important it is to me to hear all sides, and I'm really looking forward to hearing this interview today.
So. Yeah, you know, I think Bob, you know, let me remind you, Bob and I have been friends for years. Bob's not a big fan of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Bob and I had a private conversation about that. Bob, you know, this is going to be a pretty good foundational interview. I think you're going to like it. You know, there's going to be part of it you don't like, but that's okay. I mean, if you liked it all, then I really wasn't doing my job right.
I think so. Well, I am looking forward to it, Tony, though. So
not a problem. So what did you want to say about David Holtz's interview yesterday?
Well, you know, I know yesterday on his interview, he talked a little bit about Pete Hoekstra, and he played the tape, or you played the tape of Hoekstra kind of bragging about tearing down a mall. Now, as I understand that situation, that mall was torn down for the infrastructure or relaying the road grids for the city.
Yeah, let me explain, because I actually did a little homework, and I wanted to thank you for sending me that article yesterday.
Sure.
Yeah, no, I called the city of Muskegon because I wanted to find out exactly what the deal was there. What they did, Bob, was they kind of reconfigured the downtown area so that the traffic would flow in a certain way to bring more people into the city limits. Which is not a bad idea, by the way.
Rebuilding the street grid is what I understood that they were doing, and part of that was being done on the Muskegon Mall site, correct?
Well, there were three separate plans. One of them required that they buy that property, tear that down so that they could. That was one of the three configurations. That's the one that made the most sense to some of the engineers, so that's the plan they went with. But, yeah, there were three separate plans. So they bought the mall in order to tear it down in order to reconfigure the street grid, yes.
So, I think David Holtz has taken a little bit out of context the audio that you played, made it sound as if we were redirecting funds for a special project and it was being used to pay off private developers.
Well, and actually, that $2.3 million actually did go to a private developer. They needed that money. That money wasn't used to clean up. That money was used to purchase. And when he says in that audio, and I'm only going to kind of paraphrase it because I don't remember it verbatim, and we may have it. We could replay it. But sometimes Jeff dumps that stuff pretty quick because we have a lot of audio. But, you know, what he says was, you know, we had to get real creative in trying to figure out how to, you know, pay for the demolition of a mall with road funds, which is true. But that somebody actually did personally profit, and I don't have that guy's name, Bob. I can get it to you. But sure. Somebody did personally profit from that. Now, with that said, and I'll be fair, somebody usually personally profits from this stuff.
Absolutely. But that project, that money that Congressman Hoekstra at the time acquired for the city of Muskegon, was used to help redevelop their downtown grid, correct? You would agree with me?
Yeah, we've already determined that that's true.
Okay, so, and Tony, the raising of that mall, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that raising of the mall was done by Union Brothers, right?
You know what, Bob, I really don't know. We have that audio. Do you want to re-listen to that audio before we go on?
Sure, if you'd like to.
Bob, stay right where you're at. Don't go anywhere. Go ahead and play that audio, Jeff.
You know, the most creative one, I mean, we've done a lot of different things, whether it's the helicopter at the airport, the Coast Guard thing, and those kinds of things, the relationship with L3. But probably the most creative thing was, with standing exactly behind us, where we said, okay, how can we define a mall as being part of the interstate highway system and being part of the transportation bill? And we found a way to do it, and so we tore down a mall with highway funding. And I think it's working out great for Muskegon. It's kind of a catalyst.
All right, so that's basically what he had to say. And, you know, we can pick that apart, and I could easily do it, but I'm going to leave it alone. To get to your question, Bob, I don't know who demolished that. I have no idea if the company that, you know, the west side of the state, you know, they got a little bit different rules sometimes than the southeast side. I have no idea who tore that mall down. No idea.
Right. I'm pretty sure it was union workers, Tony, if I have my information correct. And again, I could be wrong. If one of the listeners knows better than I do, I'm willing to listen to them. But I believe that work was done by union workers.
Again, I just have no idea, Bob. You could be right. I have no clue.
But, you know, Tony, that's something that we take a little comment out of context. If we really start to look at what was being done there, it was improvements being done to Muskegon to help improve the lives of the people that live in that city, and in comparison to maybe Debbie Stabenow's record, you know, I'm not aware. That was money that was brought to the, and if you read Mr. Holtz's website, if you read that full article, which I've done, you know, he says we've added to the deficit, that we've wasted that money, basically. And, you know, I would put that record up against Debbie Stabenow's, where I don't know, is there legislation or is there a bill that you're aware of that she's passed? I think she's gotten four bills passed of the 165, I believe, that she's introduced since 1997.
Well, she hasn't been in the Senate. She hasn't been in the Senate since 97. She was in the House for a period of that time. But anyway.
An overall record, exactly. I think since 1997, she's introduced 165 different bills. But let's take a look just at this year, Tony. I mean, which bill this year has she introduced that you would say is, geez, my most favorite?
For her?
For her.
Well, I don't know if she introduced it, but certainly the and I know that you're not a big fan of subsidies, but I am. Those that are buying electric vehicles, I thought that subsidy was huge to get that sector of the car market moving. And as we saw, we heard the other day, the Chevy Volt, Bob, is sold out. I mean, which is really great news for the auto industry.
It is good news for the auto industry, Tony. I just say that Debbie Stabenow has not done much for the state of Michigan from the record that I see, from the record that I'm aware of.
And Bob, with all due respect, I know the senator personally, so I'll let me my bias out front. When I ran for Congress, she helped raise money for me. Again, my bias out front. I'm just full disclosure. This is one of the hardest working members of the United States Senate that we have. She is number three in line in the Senate. She's a very powerful person and has been able to help this state in ways that most senators can't. And as a junior senator, to have the power that she has, it's pretty phenomenal. Not to mention, she is working on legislation right now. In fact, it may have passed, but I don't think it has yet, that will allow local states around the country. And this is the crazy part of the federal programs. It allows states to buy more of their own products to put into the food in their own schools. So if you're in Oklahoma, you can buy Oklahoma grown stuff to put in your schools. Federal law almost prohibited you from doing that, which obviously, Bob, makes no sense. But, you know, as these things go, you know, so that, you know, because she's the chairperson of the Agricultural Committee. You know, she's addressing things that may not sound like a big deal on the surface, but as an example, in the state of Michigan alone, by enacting this law, the state will save $5.3 million this year. And, you know, as Jeff and I were talking before the show, Bob, every little bit helps.
Every little bit helps, Tony. I'm not quite sure which I know this year I think she's introduced 17 different bills or resolutions. Most of what she does introduce appears to be resolutions. You know, one of my favorites is the Veterinary Services Investment Act, Senate Bill 1053, you know, introduced back in May 24th. She's looking to introduce $10 million of spending in 2012 on putting up veterinarian clinics in places where they don't have them. That's not something that's going to benefit Michigan workers. That's not something that's
Well, how does it not benefit Michigan? And, how, you know, and Bob, we're talking about, you know, see, and again, this is where our ideology separates us. Because, you know, I think that's a wonderful bill, and I'm going to say only $10 million because in the bigger budget picture, $10 million isn't that much. In rural communities that don't have veterinary care, you know, it's kind of like in rural communities that don't have medical care, you know, sometimes you got to pay them a little bit more to make the commitment to service those areas. Bob, we got to get to the break. I appreciate your call. I know you're going to call back, and you're welcome to do it. And I love you dearly, but we're just going to we got to move on. But stop, and you know that's not a bill that bothers me. You know, that's not, to me, that's not a waste of money. And you know what? I'm not saying that Debbie Stabenow is perfect. She's not. And I'm not saying that the $2.3 million that Pete Hoekstra was able to finesse to get that developer some money to put in his pocket was all bad for the city of Muskegon. Let's just be honest about what we're doing here. You know, we had to get creative. Well, you shouldn't have to get creative. That's all I'm saying. All right, 888-552-3595. More audio on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310
WDTW.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
We just passed a bill. $1.2 trillion in time. If it were about reducing the deficit, the statement has been made about seriousness to do that. This isn't about that. This is about destroying. Isn't that reducing the deficit? It's about destroying the public space. It's about destroying a public federal involvement in education. It's about clean air, clean water, food safety, public safety. You name it, they're there to diminish it, destroy it.
And, you know, that's Nancy Pelosi discussing where she sees we're at politically. Certainly, Congresswoman and Chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, has her own take on this that we'll get to at the top of the next hour. With regard to what happened with the Dow yesterday and what's really a worldwide financial collapse and crisis, and any financial analyst that you listen to, and there will be plenty of pundits out there this morning. If you want a point of view, just turn a TV on and you'll get this. I'm not going to tell you. In fact, I'll be telling you a lot less than they will. I don't understand this nearly as well as they do. I do know this. This is a combination of fairly dynamic factors. What's happening in the international markets? We know what's happening in Greece and happening in Spain and in Italy. There's no question that's true. We have other depressed parts of the country. We have crisis in Somalia and Libya. We have our own crisis here in the United States of America, which further eroded trust in the financial markets. It's a combination of factors. Now, is this a warning shot, or is this the beginning of a serious downward spiral? We need to be concerned about that part of it. You know, there's no question that these are problematic issues. And so we, you know, is it a wake-up call? You know, it's kind of like everything else we talk about on this show. You know, do you feel like it's just so far away from you that there's nothing you can do about it? Jeff used a really interesting analogy as he and I were talking before the show today. You know, Jeff, when you said, you know, it's kind of like when you, you know, before Christmas and you got Santa out there ringing his bell for the Salvation Army, and you think, well, I could put $5 in there, but it's not going to make a difference. Well, but you know what? If everybody thought that way, Jeff, we wouldn't raise any money. We wouldn't. I mean, you know, that the point is you can't think that you don't make a difference. I thought it was a great analogy, Jeff.
Well, every little bit helps. And the people that are arguing, well, if you took all the money from the rich people, it wouldn't make a difference, is just fundamentally wrong. It would help out a lot.
Well, and it's not just about money. I mean, you can take that analogy and you could put it into, you know, one of the things that the chairwoman of the DNC is going to talk about is volunteering. You know, every little bit helps. And so, you know, I just had that conversation with Bob. Every little bit helps. If we can save $5 million, you know, in the state by being able to purchase more locally grown, you know, vegetables and fruits, we should do that because it saves $5 million. When you're talking about trillions of dollars, and $5 million is, of course, nothing in comparison. But, it, you know, every little bit does help. Here's what's fascinating to me. This is all happening in a very interesting time because the real political season doesn't begin until January. I mean, I'm talking the real heavy-duty, hardcore, you know, caucuses and primaries begins in January of 2012. And so we have basically, you know, August, September, October, November, December. Take away August because, again, this the federal legislature is now on recess. Oh, this recess thing drives me nuts. We have the state legislature coming back in a couple weeks, so we'll have that. So we'll have a couple weeks overlap where, you know, I'm going to be able to talk about whatever I want. Get a load of me. But we have to start thinking about what's best for all of us. Here's my concern. And again, I'm coming at it with my bias, my left-leaning bias. Those that are doing well, those that are in the have category, are going to stay in the have category through the last of 2011. All right? Unless you're totally vested in the financial markets and it crashed yesterday and your particular things were targeted and you're broke today, you're going to be fine. And I don't think there are many people that fit into that category. So there aren't a lot of people jumping off, you know, the ledges of buildings this morning. It wasn't that bad. So with that said, the haves are okay. Now the have-nots, that's us. What are we going to do in the next 5 months to ramp up, to prepare, to get ready for the fight that we need to fight? And I swear to God, if I get one of you that says, I'm just waiting for January, it's too late in January, what are you willing to do now to prepare for that? You know, do you need to get rested? Do you need to get a hairdo? Do you need to get a pedicure? I don't know. I don't know what you have to do to get ready, but you need to get ready. You know, we need to ramp up. We did that poll a few weeks ago. And, you know, what that poll told us in a very definitive way, as Democrats now, because we only poll Democrats, but what it told us in a very definitive way was that we want change, we want leadership, and we don't see it. We also saw that there's a very compassionate part to the Democratic mind that says we know that unions are being picked on, we know that state employees are not overpaid, and we know that we have something to say about that. So we have all this knowledge that we have. How are we going to use it? That's the question we need to ask, and then we need to answer it. Not just to ask it, we've got to answer it. Now, I think I'm going to take some time next week. Jeff, let's take a segment or two next week, and let's go back to Get Up, Stand Up, the book. Maybe you and I could put our heads together and find a particular part of that book that'll really start to engage people in the process of participation. You know, this idea that your involvement matters may just sound like clever dialogue, but it's not just clever dialogue. You know, again, and for those of you that are just joining us, I talked about tomorrow I'm going to be out in Wyandotte at the Wyandotte Democratic Club's annual picnic, which is a big deal for them. It's well attended, and that's great, and people will definitely show up there tomorrow. You know, part of my passion will be to engage these folks to do something more than they're doing now. You know, and there are a lot of people in Wyandotte involved in the recall effort of the governor. A lot of people involved in the PA for getting rid of the emergency manager law. And that's a good thing. That's a good start. And I know a couple people, like my friend Pam, who is, you know, on top of her job and on top of being a wife and a mother, you know, spends a significant amount of her time fighting that good fight. If everybody were Pam Emery, I'd be the happiest guy in the world. They're not. I mean, they're not. And so I'm hoping that we can ignite in some people some passion to do something. For those of you that think that this is just all a waste of time, well, I'm glad you do, and I hope you folks do nothing as well. But here's one of the sad realities. I was reading yesterday that this weekend in Auburn Hills, and I don't know where, the Republicans will have their annual little get-together, and they expect upwards of 600 people to come eat free ribs and chicken and celebrate, and they're going to have a little straw poll, and who's going to win the senator's race? Will it be Hoekstra or Gary Glenn and blah, 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 blah? But they'll have 600 people show up for free because some rich Republican paid for that. And if you don't see what I'm getting at, sorry, you got to keep listening. As sooner or later, you will. When we return, the chairwoman and Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz right here on First Shift. We'll take a break for the top of the hour. God bless you. Good morning. Thanks for punching in. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny, a high right around 86. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 70, and then tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a chance for a shower and a thunderstorm tomorrow. High near 86 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 68 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trippiano coming up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trippiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
1310WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities.
If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trubiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Dow futures are down this morning in the wake of one of the worst days ever for the industrials. They fell 512 points Thursday, and Asian markets followed suit, closing down across the board.
It's a representative of the U.S. economy. So when the U.S. economy sneezes, it's Japan that gets a cold. And that's really what's driving it. We have seen this pattern again and again. If Wall Street has a down day, so does Japan.
That's CNN's Kyung La, a major bellwether of the economy. The monthly U.S. jobs report is out later this morning. A Texas jury begins deliberating the fate of Warren Jeffs today, after convicting the polygamous sect leader yesterday of sexual assault. Mike Watkus of CNN affiliate KTVK says Jeffs could face life in prison.
The source very close to this case has told me that they have much greater latitude in the sentencing. Basically, they could open up all the issues, the myriad of wrongdoing that Mr. Jeffs has committed to his own followers. And bear in mind, his victims are the people who worship him.
Jeffs considered the 12-year-old and 15-year-old girls he assaulted his spiritual wives. Senators today are expected to approve a measure that temporarily resumes funding for the FAA. The impasse has put airport construction projects on hold and thousands of federal employees out of work. China is relaxing its birth control restrictions for families who lost children in a mudslide in the northwest part of the country last year. Hundreds were killed. In Newport Beach, California, 17-year-old Matt Mina was buried after the tunnel he was digging fell in on him. But he lived to tell about it.
I thought I was going to die, you know, just laying down there, just I'm accepting death.
A team of firefighters was able to free Mina after he was trapped for about a half an hour. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself.
At the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Clearly, there is some holdover market negativity following yesterday's super big Wall Street losses, which rank in the top 10 all time for a single day. S&P futures are foreshadowing more losses. This morning down 2%, or 2 points, rather. NASDAQ futures off 4. Dow futures losing about 50. You know it's a tough scene when investors are pinning their hopes for turning a market around on a jobs report. Economists not expecting much, a gain of maybe just 75,000 jobs. When the Labor Department releases its July employment measure an hour before this morning's opening bell. We're not the only ones feeling all the market pain. Markets in Tokyo and Hong Kong tumbled 4% each today. European markets falling another 2% as worries increase that the continent's debt crisis will only increase. You may have it tough, but AIG says times are better. The company that got more bailout dollars than any other says after reporting better than expected earnings that its financial crisis is now over. S&P futures losing 3 points now. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Now at the Home Depot Renew and Redo Bath event, get a Savannah 24-inch cognac vanity and matching mirror. A $249 value, now just $99. A price that'll transform your bathroom and leave room in your budget for even more improvements, like new faucets, lighting, and paint. It all starts at the Renew and Redo Bath event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Not all oil change deals are created equal. Case in point, right now at Advance Auto Parts, a 5-plus quarts jug of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and filter are just $17.49 after mail-in rebate. That includes an oil filter with a value up to $11.99. At other major retailers, the value of their included filter may be much less. You can end up having to pay more just to get the filter you need. Better value at Advance Auto Parts. One more way, service is our best part. See store for details.
They call us a mob
to try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on the second of our 3 hours on this Friday morning. And as promised, joining me now is the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and the congressman from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And Debbie, we appreciate you taking the time to be with us this morning in what's been a really stressful month for you folks. I know you're doing double duty. I would imagine it feels like you've got four full-time jobs at this point, huh?
Good morning, Tony. It's been a little bit intense, to say the least. But there was a lot on the line and a lot at stake. And I'm just proud of President Obama for having his priorities straight and in the right place and making sure that, above all else, we weren't going to let our economy go over a cliff and that we lifted the boot off the neck of the economy that the Republicans were essentially trying to press down hard on.
Well, you know, and certainly we honor that, and we of course we saw that there were, you know, the minority of the minority taking the country hostage. There's been, especially on this show, a lot of anger towards the Tea Party members of the Republican Party, and as you know, they're now even threatening their own party. And Congressman Joe Walsh posted a video on YouTube yesterday threatening his own party. It doesn't seem like they can get along with each other. Madam Chairwoman, what can we expect to happen as we move forward when you come back into after your recess here in early September?
Well, it's clear that there is an internecine battle going on within the Republican Party itself, between the right and the extreme right. And that really bubbled to the surface when John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, walked away not once but twice from President Obama's discussions and negotiations with him on really solving a big problem with a big solution. Unfortunately, the tail is allowed to wag the dog in their conference, and unfortunately, it appears that their leadership cares more about holding on to power than doing the right thing. Now, at the end of the day, we did reach a compromise. I think it's a compromise that will allow us to establish some balance, will allow that commission on the back end to consider revenue in addition to cuts. And the disincentive that exists is so significant for them to not agree that essentially the Republicans, if they refuse to agree to revenue in the second half of this deficit reduction compromise, then they're going to be forced to choose between continuing corporate tax breaks for the wealthiest and most fortunate Americans and our nation's defense. I mean, that's the choice they're going to have to make. And we protected Medicare in this compromise. We made sure that we protected Medicare benefits. We didn't allow the Ryan plan to pass, which is what the Republicans were pushing the entire time. They had the Ryan plan, and then they had the Ryan plan on steroids with cut, cap, and balance. So, although as President Obama said, this is not a perfect deal, it's not the deal that we would have drafted if we were working alone, thank God we avoided the chaos that the fault would have been.
Well, and then we hear Eric Cantor today say that, one of the things that Americans are just going to have to get used to is that these promises that we keep talking about, they might not set their heart on them because these promises eventually are going to be broken. I'm talking about entitlements.
Well, spoken like a true Republican, Tony. I mean, at the end of the day, that just demonstrates which party is committed to making sure that we preserve and fight for the safety net that seniors have paid into. The promise of security in their retirement years that is Medicare and Social Security, and which party thinks it should just be thrown by the wayside. It's clear the Republican Party has proven over and over again, we should now believe them, that they don't support Medicare, they don't support Social Security, they certainly don't support either of those programs remaining intact as they were conceived.
Well, we take a look. I'm looking at some numbers before we got on the phone today. 72% of the American people wanted what they didn't get. They wanted a compromise which included revenue. 72% of the people. Then we take a further look and we see that not only are Democrats but liberals, progressives, true progressives in this party are not nearly as upset with this precedent as the Republicans would like the world to believe they are. As we move forward, let me give you another, and this is another anti-American move as far as I'm concerned. How can we walk away without reauthorizing the Federal Aviation Administration before you leave for break? These are not American values, at least not the American values that I believe in.
Well, the Tea Party leaders and extreme right-wing Republicans that were gloating that they somehow believe they got the best of this deal, that certainly isn't borne out in the rank and file polling that has come, just like you just mentioned. The majority of Democrats, Democratic voters out there, support the final compromise that was reached on the debt ceiling, and Republicans are overwhelmingly opposed. So it's just unbelievable how irresponsible the Republican Party continues to be. The FAA reauthorization, allowing that to expire because Republicans are so anti-union that they would allow 74,000 people to be pushed out of work and continue to try to say that they care about job creation. The good news is that there was just a deal announced to allow those workers to get back on the job. A short-term FAA reauthorization bill agreement was reached on Thursday, and so we now looks like we have a resolution to that. I don't know all the details yet, but it looks like we're going to be able to get those folks back.
All right, so small slice of sanity in a sea of insanity. I'll take it for now.
It should never have happened in the first place, exactly as you said.
Well, that is the point, and I want to, as we were talking on the show, it was either yesterday or the day before this debt ceiling debacle, kind of placed itself in our laps. Congress was focused on steroids and baseball. Democrats are talking about job creation. Republicans are talking about how to protect the wealthiest Americans. The disconnect in that chasm is so wide, Madam Chairwoman. How are we going to begin to bridge that gap? At some point, we need to move this country forward.
Well, that's what Democrats are for. We President Obama, from day one on the job when he was sworn in, has been focused on getting our economy turned around. He's begun to do that. We've gone from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month in the months before he took office to now, even though we want to make sure that we quicken the pace of job creation in the private sector, every month for the last 11, we've had, no, excuse me, every month for the last 15 months, we've had job growth in the private sector. And so we're moving in the right direction. We know we have a long way to go, but the next step after this, now that this debt ceiling crisis is behind us, is to make sure that we can focus like a laser on getting jobs created and putting people back to work and moving our country forward.
Do you believe the American people are seeing through this facade, especially that the Tea Party is putting up, that they really want what's best for America? We also know that the Republican Party has said point blank, Mitch McConnell, the cheerleader of all this, that their goal is to defeat this president in 2012. In the meantime, you know, we live, as you know, in the city of Detroit, and within the sound of my voice, there are still millions of long-term unemployed people, people that are no longer counted as unemployed because they've been out of work for so long. Can we maybe invite some of those folks into my neighborhood to see my neighbors who can't make ends meet, that are moving out of their homes because of foreclosure? We're still suffering in this part of the world.
Well, you know, Tony, some of the, that's what I don't understand. They don't even have to go to your neighborhood. There are so many conservative, right-wing Republicans, Tea Party members, that have only their own neighborhoods and their own districts to look at to see that people are suffering and struggling without jobs, you know, struggling to remain in their homes and pay their mortgages. Yet their answer to our economic problems is to continue to cut and pile all the pain on middle class and working families and continue to preserve tax breaks for the most fortunate Americans and ask nothing of them, ask them to put no skin in the game, no shared sacrifice. It's unacceptable. It's clearly against what the overwhelming majority of the American people wanted. And I think that's going to be reflective in ultimately what the election results will show. And that's why I think President Obama will be reelected as President of the United States.
Well, I'm confident he will be. You know, I get up at 2:45 every morning. And, you know, when I get up in the morning and I turn my computer on, I get ready to do this show. I care deeply about my country. I'm a very passionate liberal Democrat. And I care deeply, deeply, Madam Chairwoman, about this country. I tell this audience on an everyday basis that it's no longer enough to show up. You've got to stand up now. Tell my audience before I let you go today what you need from them. We know Michigan will be a battleground state. I know you're going to be with us as often as you can be on this show. But tell my audience today what you need from them, please.
Well, we need your audience to get engaged. And look, the most precious resource that anyone has is not their money, it's their time. So anyone who cares about making sure that we can continue to move this country forward and that we can have some balance and not, like I said, pile all the pain of policy decisions on the backs of people who can least afford it, on the middle class, on small business owners, then we need to make sure that that your listeners go down and get involved in the re-election campaign of Barack Obama. We're going to need all hands on deck. And every ounce of time that people can spare. I mean, just look, you know, Mitt Romney, just for example, by way of example, claims to be a son of Michigan, claims to understand the values of the people of Michigan, yet this is the same guy who called for allowing the automobile industry in America to go bankrupt. If we had listened to Mitt Romney, then we wouldn't have any cars manufactured in the United States anymore, and the entire pipeline that fed into the automobile industry would have been gone and out of work and shut down.
Well, I just bought a new truck, so I appreciate that message more than you know. Very happy.
Well, thanks, Tony. Look forward to being on with you again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We will talk to you soon. By the way, tell Alan West the next time he wants to pick on you, he's going to have to go through me first, and that won't be pretty. That won't be pretty.
There's a long line. I agree. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll be right back, and I will give you my impressions of my interview with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trimiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things are looking pretty good out there on the freeways right now. No reports of any accidents as of yet. We do have some heavier travel on 75 north and southbound right at the 696 interchange. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high around 87. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 70. And then tomorrow, slight chance for a shower, a thunderstorm, once again, partly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 80s. Currently, it's fair and 68 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trimiano coming up after this.
It's time to cruise on into MGM Grand Detroit for your chance to win $20,000 cash during their Cruisin' Cash Giveaway. M Life Players Club members play your favorite slots August 1st through the 16th, and for every 100 points earned, receive one entry. Swipe your M Life Players Club card to activate your entries at any promotional kiosk on August 18th. You could instantly win a $25 gas gift card with the activation bonus while you await the announcement of the Cruisin' Cash winners. See M Life Players Club for details.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Push the envelope. Click with your customers. Tap into your market. All with Valpak. In the mail, online, on the phone. Visit Valpak.com or call 1-800-4-VALPAK today and see results tomorrow.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-STING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Recently on First Shift.
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call. You took the wind out of my sails when you said it about being sold a bill of goods and us having to vote. They want to destroy public education. They want to destroy unions. They want to destroy everything that this country fought for. This is the result of us not voting back in November.
You know, folks, Norm just said it perfectly. In fact, Jeff, if we can try to make a promo on what Norm just said about this is from not voting.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTV.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano. Hope you enjoyed my interview with the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and Congresswoman from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I enjoyed meeting her. We had a chance to chat very, very briefly before the show. She was getting ready, as everybody in Congress was, to go home and to take a little time. They will meet briefly this morning in the Senate to reauthorize the FAA. And let's hope, cross our fingers, that that happens. And then in the meantime, they are off for some vacation time. Don't know that they need 5 weeks. I'm all for everybody taking a vacation. This five-week thing kind of gets to me, but it is what it is, and I'm not going to change it. Feel free to join us if you would like to either comment on anything that the chairwoman had to say or anything that's on your mind. We're going to open lines the rest of this hour, and we've got a lot of stuff we want to get to as well. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. And day two, Brian in Massachusetts is on the line with us. And, Brian, I appreciate you taking the time to give us a call again this morning. What's on your mind this morning, sir?
Good morning, Tony. I enjoyed your interview with Debbie. She's a very astute human being and a very sensitive human being to the needs of people that are not very fortunate in our society. Which brings me to my point is that a lot of times people attempt to understand Republican points of view based on what the facts they seem to bring forward, or the fact that maybe they're intellectually thinking and reasoning people. The reality is that there is a psychological difference between Democrats and Republicans. The psychology of Republicans is a selfish one. Within their psyche, they are selfish, paranoid individuals who are so concerned about themselves, particularly in what they perceive as their own self-interest, that they don't care about others, that they are, again, greedy, self-thinking people. Democrats, on the other hand, they, even though they're concerned about their, obviously, their immediate sense of being, they tend to be concerned to others. They also look out and say, well, you know, what if I were in the position? So they're a sensitive group of people who think and reason and try and make decisions based on concern for others. The Republicans don't base their decisions. First, they base the decisions on what is good for them and themselves, principally in their family or whatever. But, and then they try and find or construct facts to support the decisions they make based on that selfishness and greed. And that's the difference between the two American parties.
Yeah, you know,
that's why you can't understand.
You know, and I've often wondered, you know, as a Democrat, and I don't disagree with what you've said. I think of myself. I mean, I can put this through my own personal filter. You know, there are so many issues that upset me. I mean, I can read the paper, and I emotionally get involved with the work that I do. I mean, it's not just I need to acquire knowledge for knowledge's sake. I get emotionally involved. And I wonder, and I'll say to myself, maybe I care about too many things, and I care about too much, too often, and there's no way that I can affect change, because there is so much that outrages me. You know, I want to see justice done, and so, you know, I think part of it is it dilutes, really my effectiveness, to be honest with you, and, you know, that's just the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, it's wonderful that Democrats can not just be, they're not just self-oriented, that they do get emotionally involved, but that emotion isn't wrapped around totally of their own self-interest. They look at others and they think of others and they're compassionate and commiserative of others' positions in life. Unfortunately, for whatever variety of reasons, the great survivor, you know, I'm the great survivor type of idea, the Republicans are insecure, paranoid people, you know, who really often try and disguise everything they do. Some of them, I mean, that's why you see so many contradictions, like when Cantor recently said, that's what businesses do. They keep money that they don't deserve. I mean, this is, you know, and he slips up because he doesn't even realize the kind of, you know, gaffe that he's making, admitting that it doesn't bother him that the selfishness of business, it really doesn't disturb him.
Yeah,
but that's acceptable.
Yeah, and Brian, I appreciate your thoughts and your call this morning. Yes, certainly I agree with much of what you've said. It's important, you know, to be engaged, to pay attention, and I think that, you know, one of the things you said kind of at the beginning of your call was, and to a degree that this is true, Republicans are happy to be who they are, happy to have what they have. And they have no problem embracing that. Oh, and the reasons why, well, we'll get to that later. You know, when I got time to go back and try to make sense of it, I'll go to make sense of it. How many times have I had an argument with a Republican on this show or in my real life where, you know, it's just because. Even we played that small clip yesterday of Matt Damon, and somebody, you know, the cameraman says, well, 10% of all teachers are bad teachers. And someone said, how do you know that? Well, I don't know. Well, that's a very conservative mindset. I don't know. 888-552-3595. Let's go to James in Garden City and welcome him to First Shift. James, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
All right, morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Okay, I've got two questions for you because I don't understand, so maybe you do. I hear radio commercials and TV commercials about radio should be free. And I'm wondering who is behind it, whether it's good or bad for us. And the second part is the Secretary of State's office at Cherry Hill and Inkster that served three towns is shut down, and now they're sending us down on Michigan Avenue and or Wayne Road north of Ford Road. Walker, it has been reported on the Ed Show, was doing that in poor neighborhoods so that those that normally voted Democratic would have a harder time registering to vote. You got any opinion on those two questions?
Well, let me take the second one first, James. And I actually had a question for you, but I think that you got disconnected. I don't know why the Secretary of State office is closed there. And they may be closed for renovation. They may be permanently closed. I'll have to look into that one. I am familiar with the story in Wisconsin where they were closing down Secretary of State offices in the poor, more Democratic districts, and they were actually opening up some offices in the wealthier Republican districts. And that's true. I mean, that's factually true. But I'll have to look into that. The first part of that we'll have to address on the other side of this break. I'm Tony Truppiano. Feel free to join us. We are going to be open lines this half hour. A lot more to get to. We'll certainly talk a little bit more about our conversation with the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. I'm Tony Truppiano. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at some slow traffic out there, 75 southbound between 696 and 8th Mile. Northbound side slow from 8th Mile up to 11 Mile. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high near 87. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 70. And then tomorrow, you might see a chance of a shower or a thunderstorm a little bit later on in the afternoon. Partly sunny otherwise, a high right around 87 once again. Currently, it's fair and 68 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Truppiano coming up in just a little bit.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Thursday was a busy news day in Washington, D.C., even with the House of Representatives on vacation. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid stopped the Senate from recessing for August so a solution could be reached to put Federal Aviation Administration employees back to work. Reid worked out a deal where the Senate would pass the House's bill, which would extend FAA funding, until mid-September. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood agreed that if the Senate passed the bill, he would use his authority to issue waivers to communities that would be impacted by the GOP's attempt to defund smaller airports. The deal will put 4,000 FAA employees back to work and ensure 70,000 construction workers continue working. The GOP's shutdown has cost the country nearly $400 million in lost revenue. Much of that revenue would have come through federal aviation taxes. In some cases, the airlines are attempting to pocket those tax dollars. When asked about that issue on the Neil Cavuto show, Representative Eric Cantor didn't see any issues with the airlines taking taxpayer money.
What airlines have done is have stepped in and said, well, if we're not going to pay that money to the federal government, we're going to keep it towards our own bottom line. And I guess that's what business does.
If you traveled during the shutdown and paid for your ticket prior to July 23rd, you can ask your airline for a refund. If they refuse, their Internal Revenue Service has guidelines on its website for utilizing the organization to retrieve your money. In Ohio, the Secretary of State has officially put the Collective Bargaining Rights Stripping Bill, SB 5, on the November ballot. We Are Ohio collected more than 1.3 million signatures to put the legislation up for referendum, when they only needed less than 300,000. Meanwhile, and not surprisingly, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce came out in support of the legislation. Governor John Kasich was the first endorsement the organization ever made in a gubernatorial race in more than a century. Concrete workers are back on the job at the World Trade Center, but the carpenters could soon be on the picket lines. The concrete workers have agreed to a contract negotiation extension and will stay on the job until at the least August 16th. If there isn't a deal by that time, they could be back on the sidewalks. If they do walk out again, they could have some company. The District Council of Carpenters voted on Wednesday to give their negotiator the power to call a strike.
The negotiation deadline for those workers is August 15th.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday morning program. I'm glad you've punched in with us this morning to get to the first part of the caller's question about the free radio ads. That's just, there's nothing nefarious there. It's just support terrestrial radio. It is more of an anti-satellite radio ad, so that's all. We are on a terrestrial radio station, and we're just asking people to support it. That's all it is. There's really no ulterior motive there at all. Of course, many people enjoy satellite radio. Many more don't. And I would imagine it's going to stay that way for a long time. I will look into the Secretary of State closing issue, as I have no idea. You know, when information comes in like that and you don't know, and you say so. And so we move on. Again, feel free to join us. We're open lines for the rest of this hour. Joe DeSano coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. 888-552-3595. And again, the email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. I want to welcome Ray and Royal Oak to the program. Ray, a pleasure to have you on. Good morning to you. What's on your mind, Ray?
Good morning, Tony. Congratulations to you and your staff for putting on some rather interesting information that is apparently lacking in much of the media today. I have an issue with a previous caller who, it seemed to me, is packaging an entire group of people as being one way. That's a serious error. I hope I heard you say, I thought I heard you say, that you agreed with most of what he said. Now, how can we, if we're Democrats, and I am most of the time, how can we package all of the Republicans in that neat, enclosed box that that gentleman put them in? Republicans are human beings. They have ideas that I personally don't subscribe to. However, I hope, be willing to die for the right to any citizen of this country. My parents are immigrants. My brother, too, is an immigrant. He was born in Italy. They're all dead. Now, you see, you know, Tony, we have to be very careful. I don't think Obama should be the mediator. I think Obama needs to leave that alone. But if we, on the street and in the communities in which we live, throw stones at the alleged enemy, you know where I'm going with this?
You know, Ray, I don't, because I'm
you
one of
the... You don't know where I'm going.
I really don't. I'm one of the stone throwers. I mean, no, Ray,
No, you're not a stone thrower. You're a truth thrower. And if you are going to package all Republicans the way that gentleman portrayed them, you're going to have stones thrown back at you. And who wins? Now, I'm not some Pollyannish. Of course, there's difficulty. Of course, many Republicans feel the way he was describing. How about some of the Democrats? How about the fact, for example, that Obama, in the history of this nation, got more money from Wall Street than any presidential candidate? Is that a fact? How come he continues to, I don't know, I voted for Obama. I support Obama. I will vote for him again because I'm worried about the Supreme Court more than anything else.
And we need to be. And
we've
done
a lot of good things, Tony. You're doing marvelous things. At last, we're cracking that so-called glass, but it's not glass. The media is steel barriers. The FOX News and all of these other outlets that are beholden to the money that gets shoved in their pockets by these huge corporations that are not persons.
Well, you know, Ray, let me, and I appreciate the call, and I appreciate your passion. I can see you're a very passionate person. Let me address that, and thank you for calling me this morning. And let me just put it this way: certainly, we look at our point of view. Some of us have a broader vision than others. Some of us, as we were just talking about a few minutes ago, when we see what's happening, we had Brian call from Massachusetts. When we see what's happening and it bothers us as Democrats, we have a tendency to want to do something about it. Now, we can say that's either a response or a reaction, and there is a difference between the two. But certainly we want to move people to change. So, Ray, I get that. The vitriol that happens, the name-calling that happens, the stone-throwing that happens is heat of the moment. There is no way to avoid that. There's just no way that we're going to avoid it. Human nature says we're going to defend ourselves, and sometimes we do that in less adult ways. I have, as an example, during the bottom of the hour Wynn News broadcast, Eric Cantor said on Fox News, and did you like, Jeff, the way he spelled it, F-O-X, didn't say it?
Yeah.
And that was kind of clever there. Eric Cantor said he had no problem with the airlines continuing to charge a tax, the FAA tax on your ticket, your airline ticket, and pocketing the money because, quote unquote, that's what businesses do. Well, you know, Ray, you and I aren't going to agree with Eric Cantor on that. You know, they had actually no right to charge a tax. They were collecting a tax that they knew wouldn't be collected. Now, that's not fair. They need to be forthcoming about that. Now, they didn't all do it. I know Delta did it. I'm not sure who else did it, but I know Delta did it for sure. And so, you know, when we look to that, Ray, you and I have a different philosophy on that than a conservative does. The problem that we run into is that the media, who everybody claims is liberal, is not. There is no such thing as a liberal media. And I'm going to break this down a little further. Let's go with the idea that print media is liberal. Let's say that print media is liberal. Print media is not the way we move the majority of information in this country anymore, in the world for that matter. Everything is moved online. Cable television is almost in every home, and that's the way a great deal of information is moved. And then, of course, we have radio, which still moves a great deal of information. The vast majority of talk radio, 90-something percent of it, is conservative. Nobody can argue those facts. That is absolutely true. And so we finally get a show like mine, and there are others, certainly those on the station, Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, Randy Rhodes, Alan Colmes, and others, my good friend Peter B. Collins, and others, Mike Malloy, Peter Werby. But there aren't enough of us, and we don't have the same kind of reach. We didn't, you know, the Rush Limbaugh has such a head start on everybody that no one catches up with that. Even Sean Hannity, who has the power of ABC behind him and Fox News, will never catch up to Rush Limbaugh. And so we're behind. So, you know, we have to, you know, work harder at what we do. Now, Ray, I appreciate what you said about me being a truth thrower, and I believe that I am a truth thrower, but I also have to own the stones that I throw from time to time as well, because I do. But I don't do it out of some sense of retribution. I'm not looking to get even. You know, maybe even from time to time it's not the most responsible way to carry myself, but again, I'm human too. And I'm not going to apologize for being who I am. But we have to, at some level, play the game the way it's played. And unfortunately, I don't always set the rules. If I did, the rules would be played a lot differently. The game would be played a lot differently. But I don't. So I have to play it the way that it's out there. There are times where I'm just damned pissed off. I get angry. I get angry with misinformation. I get angry with outright lying. And Republicans are very good at that. And I call out Democrats that are good at it. I've done it on this show many times, and I'll continue to do it. I'm not, You know, I'm not a lackey for anybody. And I certainly have my biases, but I'm upfront about that. I don't hide who I am. I don't, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, pro-business, pro-Democrat, pro-liberal. It's who I am. So it's not, I'm not coming from anywhere but a very pure and purposeful place. In my heart, I want what's best for this country. I just disagree with the way some believe what's best for this country is best. And the reason I believe that is I see how many people are being left behind. When I had my restaurant in Wyandotte, even when I had my two restaurants, the one in Pontiac and the one in Waterford, I have always served a blue-collar clientele for the most part. You know, the majority of my customers have always been blue-collar people. I didn't have fancy four-star or five-star restaurants. They were just good old-fashioned diners. And the people that I fed on a daily basis are hardworking people that are looking for a little value for their dollar. They're looking for a good meal, and they're looking to go home and be good husbands and fathers and wives and mothers. You know, and there's something about that, I'm sorry, that just appeals to me. And so I have no problem fighting for that mindset and fighting for those people. You know, I look, the city of Wyandotte has suffered just like any other community in southeast Michigan or throughout the state. I saw some good people leave that community. I ended up being one of them. And so I understand the struggle. I've lived the struggle. You know, I don't live in some ivory tower. I'm not making, you know, millions of dollars a year to get on the air and lie about what's going on. I'm not being paid millions of dollars a year to start race riots in this country like some talk show hosts do. I appreciate your passion, Ray, but we're just going to have to take a little bit of the stuff that we might not like, because the end game is right about what? It's about changing minds and hearts. And sometimes that game gets a little ugly. We're going to take a quick break here. I am Tony Trupiano. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
First chip with Tony Trupiano.
Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift.
Bruce Levine, thanks so much for joining us. Let's talk a little bit about powerlessness.
One of the things I think that people who've never participated out there, they sort of see the landscape, they see how much power the government has and these corporations have, and feel like the whole thing is a scam and it's crooked, and you move into kind of a, not only a helplessness and hopelessness, but a cynicism. But I think if you get in the battle, even if you don't win an immediate victory, what happens is you do get rewards right away. You do get comrades. You do get solidarity.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hey, Detroit,
Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310.
WDTW.
All right, welcome back. I got an email from Nancy. Again, we had played the audio yesterday of Matt Damon in Washington, D.C. She wanted to know if the woman in the video was his mother. Nancy, I have no idea. And it was a cameraman that yelled out the 10% figure, but I have no idea if the woman in that video was his mom. Jeff, do you have any idea?
Yeah, the woman behind him that's in the video is his mom. Obviously not the person that you hear in the audio. That's just a reporter, obviously.
Okay. So I hope that helps you, Nancy, because she had sent me an email on this yesterday as well. I have no idea. But his mother is, and that is his mother, so I hope that helps you. All right. This happened a couple days ago. Al Sharpton is on MSNBC now on a daily basis, and he and Pat Buchanan... and Jeff and I actually had an interesting dialogue about this. He and Pat Buchanan got into a little bit of a scruff. And let me play it for you and then give you my impression of what happened there.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. The House will pass all of the Bush tax cuts and extend them. And you got your senators fighting for their lives up there trying to raise taxes on everybody that's making more than $200,000 a year. I'll take that fight any day. And let me tell you, your boy... Barack Obama caved in on it in 2010, and he'll cave in on it again.
My what? My president, Barack Obama? What did you say?
He's your boy in the ring.
No, he's nobody's boy. He's your president, and he's our president, and that's what y'all are going to get through your head. And maybe there was, you know, there was a strategy when I was a younger man. I was never nobody's boy. But when I was a younger man, there was a strategy by a great champion named Muhammad Ali. When you're facing an imbalanced opponent and you can't outpunch him because they got 61 extra votes, you rope-a-dope him. And maybe he's leaning on the ropes and let you guys punch yourself out.
All right, Pat Buchanan saying your boy. Now, I found that to be amazingly disrespectful. I didn't. It's not racist. It's amazingly disrespectful to call the President of the United States your boy. Now, Jeff, you saw this a little bit differently than I did. And I think that I 100% back up Al Sharpton on this one. He is our president. And even though I had major issues with George W. Bush, and I had reason to have major issues with George W. Bush, he was always my president, and I never, ever would use a slang term, and I would consider it a derogatory, a disrespectful term, when I addressed him or spoke of him. But you didn't quite see it that way.
No, and this is how I view it. CNN, and I emailed you when I heard this. CNN was using the word "dis." And I was just kind of blown away by them using words like that. It's basically slang now becoming part of the vocabulary.
Lexicon, right.
And so when I said that, I emailed you, how long until they start using words like homie or other slang terms that we hear a lot? And here's a version of it. We'll play the Buchanan clarifying himself because he uses it a little differently. He says he was using boxing analogies, which I don't know the lexicon where he's getting the boxing analogy from.
And thank you. Go ahead and play it.
But okay, we'll play that.
Yeah, play it.
Let me clarify something that happened last night on the Al Sharpton show. A very spirited discussion. I was asked who was the big losers in these battles and the big winners. And I said one of the big losers using boxing terminology was your boy. And I meant the President of the United States. Reverend Sharpton said, my boy is the President of the United States. And he's doing a rope-a-dope in the Ali fashion. And he's going to finish off your crowd. Now, this was taken. Some folks took what I said as some kind of slur. None was meant. None was intended. None was delivered for the record.
All right. Now, we just listened to both of them. And, Jeff, it is obvious that he wasn't using it as a boxing term because the boxing terminology or reference didn't come until the end of that discussion.
Well, to be fair, I didn't play the first half of it. Where
it doesn't matter. I listened to it live. I heard it. I watched it. Okay, so
even still, with slang, I use that a lot. I call people, "Hey, your boy's on TV," or "Hey, this is my," you know, yeah. The slang terminology. If you're going with the youth, I mean, people even younger than me, when you say "your boy," it's a term of endearment. It's not it's not a disrespectful thing at all. So if you're going to start using slang, which I don't agree with, I mean, CNN using the words "diss" and stuff like that. I don't see the disrespect out of it because the way people use that is, you know, your boy is your guy, your friend, the guy that you believe in. Like, he was saying to Al Sharpton, that's the guy you're standing behind. And you know, maybe in other comments or in another discussion, Buchanan is somewhat, disrespectful. But if you're just looking at the term "your boy," and I've had this discussion with my parents who, again, you think that it's a disrespectful term, and I'm trying to explain, no, we use it as that's the guy you support. That's your guy.
All right. Well, again, I find it to be incredibly disrespectful, and I'm going to stick with that. I'm sorry. I'm just not buying the boxing analogy from Pat Buchanan. Just not buying it. That was a very, you're right, the whole piece of audio got out of control. In fact, Jeff, as you know, they at one point were doing the classic talking over each other where you can't hear what either one's saying. It got so out of control.
Right.
And I hate when that happens. I mean, I absolutely despise it. That's why when it happens on my show, I shut it down because I can't stand it. But he was being very disrespectful. In fact, you know, Pat Buchanan was gloating a little bit, to be honest, Jeff. So that's just the way I see it. We'll let everybody figure it out on your own. I mean, you know, what do you think, folks? What do you think? 888-552-3595. I have real issues. Again, I was on air during the entire Bush presidency, which was not easy for me, somebody that actually cares about this country, to see what President Bush did to it. But I always referred to him as President Bush. It's not my boy or someone else's boy. Let's go to the phones and welcome Amir in Detroit. Amir, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, in regards to the Matt Damon piece,
yeah,
the reporter and the cameraman, you have to also take into account where they're coming from. And I think it was a Libertarian News or something like that.
Reason TV is what it was.
Yeah, but Reason TV?
Yeah.
Okay, I was wondering, is that a conservative TV?
It's Liberty, you're right, it's Libertarian.
Right, so also, taking into account where it's coming from, and I'm glad Matt Damon actually stood up and spoke out. In regards to calling President your boy, to me, it was stupid of Pat Buchanan, but Pat Buchanan does stupid things. I don't think he was trying to do it and this is being honest, in a disrespectful way, as in trying to downgrade the president. And it is slang. He shouldn't have used slang, is the basic sense.
Well, again, Amir, I
should have called him your president.
I find it disrespectful. I find it very disrespectful.
And I can understand how some people would find it disrespectful, and I can understand. I'm kind of on Jeff's side, where, to me, it's not... I do use it. I've called President Bush if it's somebody that supports him and loves him, and that's their boy.
All right. Well, okay. I'm gonna stand by where I'm at. You stand by your end. I got to get to the break here for the top of the hour. Joe DeSano on the other side. Stay with us, folks. This is 1310 WDTW.
Teen 10. 1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Things looking pretty good out there on the freeways right now. No reports of any accidents or anything like that. So let's hope it stays that way. And frankly, at this point, it's likely going to. A lot of people getting away for three-day weekends today. Must be nice. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 86. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 60s to around 70. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, a high right around 87 with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Currently, it's fair and 67 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up after this.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Matt Cherry. Some major economic news comes out just about a half hour from now. The monthly jobs report. Economists predict about 75,000 were added in July. This comes on the heels of yesterday's huge sell-off on Wall Street. And investment advisor Matt McCall says that folks should take advantage of the lower stock prices.
The first thing is you don't base your long-term decisions. People, and most people are investing for decades looking out for now. You can't base that on 1 or 2 days of action in a market.
Overseas, Asian markets declined. European stocks are in the red, too, but those losses have eased throughout the day. Jobs will be President Obama's focus today. CNN's Rick Vincent reports. He'll be outlining a plan to get unemployed veterans back to work.
In a speech later this morning at the Washington Naval Yard, the president is expected to lay out a series of reforms to better prepare service members for the civilian workforce and encourage employers to hire recent veterans. There will be a tax break for businesses that hire veterans, varying in size depending on how long the vet has been unemployed and whether he or she has a disability. Rick Vincent, CNN.
The salmonella outbreak linked to a turkey processing plant in Arkansas has sent nearly 24 people to the hospital. Former FDA official David Acheson says food safety problems are harder to track down now because of budget cuts.
Food safety usually begins locally. And we're not just seeing budget cuts at federal level. We're seeing them at the state level and the local level.
Federal health officials say the bacteria may be more resistant than usual to antibiotics. Back in court this morning for Warren Jeffs for the sentencing phase of his trial. The polygamous sect leader was convicted yesterday of sexually assaulting two underage girls he considered his spiritual wives. Atlanta police are dealing with a rash of burglaries. Nothing unusual about that. But the catch, many of the alleged thieves are young kids. Police say the offenders in at least two of the crimes were only 8 years old. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself.
At the Sam's Club open house event, August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Wall Street investors are hoping economists are wrong. Most expecting a tepid gain of 75,000 in the number of new jobs created last month. That report is coming up at 30 past, and if the increase is significantly bigger than 75,000, there may be a chance we won't add to yesterday's historic market losses. But right now, S&P futures are down 3 points. NASDAQ futures off 9, Dow futures down 40. Plenty of earnings reports, mostly good. Better than expected readings from Procter & Gamble, Viacom, Priceline, LinkedIn. Isn't this nice? AIG, the big insurer rescued from the brink with your taxpayer money, now says its crisis is over. The company, still about three-quarters owned by Uncle Sam, says it would survive if another big economic downturn were to occur. But in the words of AIG's CEO, we want to be sure not to make a boo-boo. A possible reference to its bad debts on billions of dollars in toxic securities, which led to its near collapse and subsequent bailout. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Shopping for a car? The best place to start is CarMax.com. At CarMax.com, you can compare features, prices, and more on thousands of high-quality used cars and trucks in our nationwide inventory. You can even transfer most cars to the store nearest you. A fee may apply. It's the easy way to see actual prices and tons of pictures and find the car that's perfect for you. Log on to CarMax.com and start shopping today. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I can test drive a car before I buy it. I can try out the gym before I join.
So why not try out the savings at Sam's Club free? It's the Sam's Club open house event August 5th through the 7th, where you can shop for back to class and save more on laptops, supplies, and appliances. No membership required.
Test drive the savings for yourself
at the Sam's Club open house event August 5th through the 7th. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
And welcome back to this Friday program, and we've got a carryover topic. So this, let me just direct some traffic real quickly here. The phone number, 888-552-3595, at issue, and we've got callers, and yes, we've got Joe DeSano with us, but we've got callers held over from the last hour. Jeff, I want you to replay the Buchanan clip, because Joe's going to join us in just a moment. I want him to hear what started this conversation.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. The House will pass all of the Bush tax cuts and extend them, and you got your senators fighting for their lives up there trying to raise taxes on everybody that's making more than $200,000 a year. I'll take that fight any day, and let me tell you, your boy Barack Obama caved in on it in 2010, and he'll cave in on it again.
My what? My president, Barack Obama? What did you say?
He's your boy in the ring.
No, he's nobody's boy. He's your president, and he's our president, and that's what y'all are going to get through your head. And maybe there was, you know, there was a strategy when I was a younger man. I was never nobody's boy. But when I was a younger man.
All right, Jeff, we can stop it there. All right, so that's basically what's going on. We're going to forego Joe's open this week. Joe DeSano joins us from Main Street Chatter. He's a political strategist, political insider. Joe, I want to welcome you back to the show. The issue I had with that is I felt that it was disrespectful to the president. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's no question that it's disrespectful to the president, but you also have to factor in who's doing the talking, and it's Pat Buchanan.
And I get that, but here's Joe, here's where, you know, we've already had a couple callers, which is why we've got so many callers waiting on hold right now. We're going to get to them, and I appreciate you joining me on this. They're saying, hey, listen, it's just, you know, it wasn't meant in a derogatory way. It's just the way that people talk.
Well, let me stop you right there.
All right.
Let me stop you right there. If it were anyone, maybe, if it was just anyone off the street, maybe we could roll with that it wasn't meant derogatory. But you have to place Pat Buchanan in his historical context. He was the guy who helped Richard Nixon implement the Southern Strategy, who created the whole coded racism talk that began in the 70s. This is the author of much of that. Okay? You have to consider your source. And this isn't the first time he said crazy stuff on MSNBC.
No, you're right. All right. So let's go to the phones, Joe, because a lot of people got a lot to say. We got full phone lines right now. Again, 888-552-3595. Let's go to Will in Milford. Will, what's on your mind this morning?
How you doing, Tony? I kind of got 2 points. First of all, I can say that I was in the military years ago, and I was a Southern boy, and we use that term boy a lot. And in conversation with a Afro-American fellow airman, I used the word boy and found myself on charges and was standing in front of the board. So that is a defensive word, and, you know, unbeknownst to me, it was a common word we used. It was not meant in a racial manner, but I surely had to defend myself for using that term. So that's been close to 28 years ago since I've been in the service, and everybody should know that by now, that that's not a word that you say out of respect, you know, so. But my main point I called, I happened to see Scarborough this morning. I always watch it because it gets me fired up, gets me going in the morning. But Michael Steele was on there, and he made the statement this morning that the American people have not been asked to really sacrifice for this economy, and he sees no problem in asking for a little bit more from, you know, his paycheck to help that person, that brother on the corner, to get a job. And I was just appalled by that because I'm like going, maybe you guys haven't sacrificed, but I've been through a plant closing. I've taken pay cuts. I've got...
I hate to cut you short. We just have so many calls. So thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. Certainly the majority of us have sacrificed until it hurts. Will obviously agrees with that. There is a derogatory root to the phrase "your boy." There's no question that's true.
Well, I would also point to the effective Southern drawl that he added to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, who's our next caller? Bo. All right, let's go to Bo. Bo, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Tony? You all right?
I'm fine, thank you.
And to your guest, yeah, I do think it's a derogatory term, and I think that there's been nothing but derogatory terms thrown at the president in a disrespectful manner. Using the term "boy" is racist, in my opinion. You know, and I've been an African American for all my life, so you know, I mean, I think it's a derogatory term. You know, they called him a liar. I heard that his wife gets more death threats than even he does. I think clearly, racism, as I think, is more out of control than it ever was since we had an African American president, especially when it comes to the Tea Party. One of your callers talked about the Southern Strategy. I think that's something they probably plan to use during the 2012 election, you know, to get people fired up and angry about, voting against this president. I think clearly racism, there's no such thing as a post-racial America. I think they've just incensed more of the racists now, you know, and they're just under the cover of being called Tea Party.
Well, Bo, I don't disagree with you, and you're right. You have been African-American all your life. That's not something you can turn on or off, and I don't think that you're even more sensitive to it. I think you're just more aware, and you're a thinker. Joe DeSano, and Bo, thank you for your call. Joe DeSano, you know, again, I wasn't turning this into a racial discussion. I just thought it was disrespectful, but certainly it can go there. Chris Mialakis is listening, and he sent me a text that said, you know, don't forget, this is not the first time a political figure has called the president a boy.
No, and there's a whole lexicon that has grown up around Pat Buchanan. Okay, we could Google it and talk about it forever. This is a guy who has methodically and calculatedly found ways to separate working class white voters from African Americans. You have to consider the source.
you can make a good argument that he's a Nazi sympathizer. He wrote a book just a few years ago saying that the United States should have stayed out of World War II. This is, you know, this is a guy who has some really radical ideas. And frankly, I think a bigger issue is why MSNBC keeps him around.
Yeah, well, there may be some real truth to that. Let's try to get another call in before we've got to get to break. 888-552-3595. Joe DeSano is with me with Main Street Strategies. Next is Joe in Detroit. And, Joe, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind is that word boy. You know, I'll believe Pat Buchanan when he calls Dwight Eisenhower a boy. How about calling Ronald Reagan his boy? How about Herbert Hoover? Was Herbert Hoover his boy? President Obama is the only president ever who's ever been called boy. And your younger callers, they don't understand what that word means, the connotation of the word boy. If you keep me a boy, then I can never be your equal. If you keep me a child, I can never be your equal. And, you know, that's exactly how simple it is. And I'll tell you what, in my younger years, and even now, you refer to me as boy, and it'll earn you a quick trip to the pavement, probably. You know, I'm 76 years old, and I didn't take it lightly. And these people, you know, yeah, he meant every word of it. And as far as
absolutely
you can, I think
he
he's a buffoon. And I think he's
now,
a clown.
I'll go so far to say that David Duke is Pat Buchanan's boy.
Say again?
I said Pat Buchanan's boy is David Duke.
Oh, yeah, that's his boy, all right. Yeah, I refer to George H.W. as mini-me, but only in the company of Republicans, you know?
And Joe, I appreciate the call. I truly do. And thank you so much. Before we get to the break, Steve, you'll be up next, so please stay where you're at. But we have to get to the break here in just a moment. You know, Joe, I have no regard for our governor for political reasons. I don't know the man personally. I would never disrespect the office, ever. I was a nationally syndicated radio show host during the presidency of George W. Bush. I beat up on that man on a daily basis, but I did it with facts. He was always my president, Joe. Okay, I didn't call him the smirking chimp. All the stuff that he was called, I didn't go there. Because I respect the office.
I tip my hat to you. I can't say that I didn't, but I didn't. There's no equitable term for boy that Mr. Buchanan used. And again, I'm going to go back to, I have a problem with MSNBC having both of those guys on. I would point, it is not a racial thing, but I would point to Sharpton's lobbying of the Comcast-NBC merger. I think that was inappropriate for him to end up with the show. So I think both these guys are compromised at best.
Well, listen, Al Sharpton has his own record that would be impossible for me to defend. But this isn't about Al Sharpton. This is about Pat Buchanan and what I thought was a very respectful. And, you know, the other thing here, and I'm getting just a ton of email. I mean, this is getting a ton of reaction. The other thing here that I want people to be mindful of, when we call somebody a derogatory term, even if this is meant disrespectfully, the president didn't earn that designation. He didn't earn that. Well, that's somebody's opinion. That wasn't based on a factual situation. And there's a big difference between facts and opinion. A huge difference. An ocean worth of difference. Joe DeSano with me. We'll get back. Steve, you're going to be up next. Folks, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to say this. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking pretty good out there on the freeway so far. We do have one accident, 275 southbound at Michigan Avenue. The right lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up just a little bit right before it, but no major delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service: should be a beautiful day out there today. Mostly sunny, a high right around 86. And then tonight, some clouds move in. Mostly cloudy, a low around 70. And then tomorrow, sun comes back out. 20% chance of a shower or thunderstorm, a high near 87. Currently, it's fair and 71 at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Tribbiano coming up in just a little bit.
Home ownership strengthens families, builds communities, and creates jobs. To find out how home ownership can benefit you, contact an agent who is a realtor or visit houselogic.com/buy and sell. Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Hi, Tony Tribbiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Get in the zone! AutoZone. The hot summer sun can cause serious damage to your car, but AutoZone can help you clean and protect your ride. Don't just wash your car. Wax it to shield your finish from harmful UV rays. Remove grit and grime from your wheels and tires. And don't forget exterior trim protection. Right now, get your choice of any Eagle One car care product for just $3.99 each. Stop by AutoZone for more tips on how to protect your car's appearance, plus expert advice to help you do the job right. Because parts are just part of what we do.
Get in the zone!
AutoZone.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Tribbiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. Tony Tribbiano with you. Joe DeSano is along with Main Street Strategies. We're going to take one more call. And then actually, we didn't invite Joe to fight my fight, although he's happy to get involved in the discussion, and I appreciate that.
Let's get in the ring.
You like to get in the ring. You absolutely do. But let's welcome Steve Monroe to the show. Steve, thanks for your patience. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. Joe is in the ring. But I agree with you. I mean, he's our president. I profoundly disagree with him, but he's still our president. There's some level of respect that we have to show him. And you've made the comment with respect to Governor Snyder that he's our governor, and you might disagree, but you still show him respect. But let me remind you, about a month ago, Joe DeSano on your radio show made reference to our governor as being a clown. Now, I find that unacceptable, and, you know, that's really my comment for the day.
All right. Well, Steve, I appreciate the call, and Joe, I'll let you go ahead and respond to Steve.
Well, I will say this. Tony Tribbiano is a better person than me. How about that? I got no problem admitting that. As far as I'm concerned, this governor is profoundly clownish, and it's hurting working people in this state. And I'm not, I don't,
I'll take them on anytime, anywhere. And if you don't like the language, God bless you. You're welcome to that opinion.
Well, that's one of the beautiful things about this Constitution and that wonderful thing we call the First Amendment, Joe DeSano. It is open to interpretation. We were talking during the break, Jeff, Todd, and I, Joe. I saw it as disrespectful. Some saw it as racist. Others saw it as no big deal. So, I mean, that's the beauty of the First Amendment. Anyway, I appreciate you taking some time to be with us. We do have some other things to get to. If you don't mind me asking, I'd like to talk a little bit about Main Street Strategies today, and then I've got some other stuff I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure.
Is that all right? Just kind of curious how you guys did in primary season. I know that you have clients and... to this point, I've really never asked you about your clients, but I'm just curious, how did you guys do in the primary?
Well, I would...
I guess I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, aren't I? You could tell me, well, all of our guys lost. I don't think you're going to tell me that, but...
Well, in fact, the exact opposite. Everything we touched was successful. That was the first time that happened. In fact, it turned out to be a very boring election day because it's the only time in my life I can point to where everything went according to plan. We were consultants for Mayor Fouts and Warren, and he won with 77% of the vote. And that actually, believe it or not, getting that 77% was not an easy thing. Secondly, we did some work for Dane Walling up in Flint. And he got 48% in the primary against five or six candidates. So both Fouts and Mayor Walling are going to go on, I think, to large victories come November. And also, we had an interesting situation up in Lansing where there is a councilwoman named Carol Wood who is, you know, in my opinion, virtually unbeatable. And there is a African-American council member named Derek Quinney who's a friend and client. And then there was a couple so-called progressives who had allied themselves with the Chamber of Commerce and as well as one of these scab contractors who was funding their campaigns. And so we beat back that challenge quite handily. So it was a great election day. I mean, I'm almost in a good mood. That's how good it was.
You're almost in a good mood.
Almost in a good mood.
Well,
yeah.
Isn't that something? Because, you know, what people don't know is you're actually the grumpiest guy on earth, are you not?
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm just joking. Mind. I don't know where the hell that came from. I guess I wanted to call you a name. You grump? You grump?
Oh, well.
See, I can put it out there, too. Interestingly, I just happened I follow you on Twitter, and at one point you tweeted on primary day, this is the most boring primary day in the history of primary days. Now I know why. I'm thinking, why the hell
You know what I was doing when I typed that? I was sitting at my mom and dad's kitchen, and my dad would slice some prosciutto and give me some eggplant, and it was a lovely afternoon, I'll say that.
I was going to say, how bad could that be?
No, life didn't suck that day.
No, life did not suck that day. Well, I got to tell you, I want to talk a little bit just in general about the philosophy of primaries. My experience at 6 o'clock... I went to vote, and I live in Dearborn Heights, and we only had a city clerk's race in my precinct. That's it. That's all we had was a city clerk's race in Dearborn Heights. I walked into my polling place at 6 o'clock in the evening, and I was voter number 12.
Oh, that's shameful.
Now, I don't know how many precincts they have on primary day, because on a general, they actually have more than they have in a primary. So I don't know how many they had open in Dearborn Heights that day, but let's say it was 10. I'm assuming some of them did better than 12, but oh my God, Joe. 12
yeah, I think
people.
About 3,000 votes or so were cast in Dearborn Heights on Election Day. That's probably somewhere between 9 and 11% of registered voters. That's just anemic turnout. That's pretty much consistent even in places where there were, and Dearborn Heights, that was a contested election. I mean, charges were flying back and forth. There was some controversy there, which you usually think controversy fuels interest, fuels turnout. But that was not the case this August. I mean, turnout was abhorrent everywhere. And it's really a shameful thing. And frankly, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Well, you know, that's of course where I was headed. So thank you. So let's talk about this for a moment. We did see in some communities, like in Troy, you know, they had the millage issue in a lot of communities. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. In some communities, they did have millage issues. Certainly Livonia is another one, you know, where they approved a police and fire millage. And so we look at that, and you're right. You would think even in those communities, like in Troy, the library issue was a huge issue, Joe, as you know. And although I think they ended up having somewhere over 20,000 people come out to vote, it's a small percentage of the registered voters in that community. And even though that millage passed handily, you know, you would have thought, because that got radio coverage, it got print coverage, it got TV coverage, you would have thought people would have been going to the polls. I actually had people calling my show saying, what's this all about, that lived in Troy?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think there's a couple reforms that if we had a progressive Secretary of State, we might be able to implement to raise voter turnout. One would be, you know, to go to an entirely vote-by-mail program, which they do in a couple of states, Oregon in particular, that's sharply increased turnout. I think same-day registration, that would spur voting, but the Republicans would fight that to the death. Because that would obviously bring people to the polls who probably don't agree with the right-wing agenda. So there goes my cell phone. Excuse me, I thought I had that turned off. But there are a whole series of reforms that we could implement to increase turnout and, frankly, make it easier for people to participate.
Well, we need to do that. You know, and I often think, especially when you have like a turnout of 10 or 11% like we did in Dearborn Heights, did the real two candidates move forward? Because you don't know. I mean, and when you have that kind of turnout, it's about, you know, the individual candidate, and God bless them, being able to get stuff out quickly. Anyway, we got to take the break. Joe, stay with us. We've got some other stuff we need to get to. Joe DeSano, my guest with Main Street Strategies out of Lansing. One more segment with him, and then we'll kind of get things wrapped up and move on for the weekend. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Just a couple of problems out there. 275 southbound at 12 mile. We have an accident there on the right lane. Expect some minor delays as you approach that. Also, 94 eastbound at Trumbull. We've got some debris in the center lane there, so keep an eye out for that. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Shaping up to be a nice weekend. The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 86. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low right around 70. And then tomorrow, going to be another nice day, partly sunny. Maybe a chance of a shower and thunderstorm, a high near 87. Currently, it's fair and 71 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Truppiano coming up just after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Thursday was a busy news day in Washington, D.C., even with the House of Representatives on vacation. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid stopped the Senate from recessing for August so a solution could be reached to put Federal Aviation Administration employees back to work. Reid worked out a deal where the Senate would pass the House's bill, which would extend FAA funding, until mid-September. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood agreed that if the Senate passed the bill, he would use his authority to issue waivers to communities that would be impacted by the GOP's attempt to defund smaller airports. The deal will put 4,000 FAA employees back to work and ensure 70,000 construction workers continue working. The GOP's shutdown has cost the country nearly $400 million in lost revenue. Much of that revenue would have come through federal aviation taxes. In some cases, the airlines are attempting to pocket those tax dollars. When asked about that issue on the Neil Cavuto show, Representative Eric Cantor didn't see any issues with the airlines taking taxpayer money.
What airlines have done is have stepped in and said, well, if we're not going to pay that money to the federal government, we're going to keep it towards our own bottom line. And I guess that's what business does.
If you traveled during the shutdown and paid for your ticket prior to July 23rd, you can ask your airline for a refund. If they refuse, their Internal Revenue Service has guidelines on its website for utilizing the organization to retrieve your money. In Ohio, the Secretary of State has officially put the Collective Bargaining Rights Stripping Bill, SB 5, on the November ballot. We Are Ohio collected more than 1.3 million signatures to put the legislation up for referendum, when they only needed less than 300,000. Meanwhile, and not surprisingly, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce came out in support of the legislation. Governor John Kasich was the first endorsement the organization ever made in a gubernatorial race in more than a century. Concrete workers are back on the job at the World Trade Center, but the carpenters could soon be on the picket lines. The concrete workers have agreed to a contract negotiation extension and will stay on the job until at the least August 16th. If there isn't a deal by that time, they could be back on the sidewalks. If they do walk out again, they could have some company. The District Council of Carpenters voted on Wednesday to give their negotiator the power to call a strike. The negotiation deadline for those workers is August 15th.
Pacifica Radio says it's riveting. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising is a one-hour documentary from Madison-based Workers Independent News. Get your copy today at laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And thank you for punching in. It's 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Friday program. Joe DeSano, principal with Main Street Strategies, is my guest. Joe, we have another caller that wants to comment on the Pat Buchanan L. Sharpton exchange. So let us welcome Kendra in Southfield to the show. Kendra, pleasure to have you on this morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to chime in. You had mentioned about going on election day only being voter number 12.
Yeah.
And you get encourage people to vote, which is a good thing. Like, ever since I've turned 18, I've only missed two elections. One was due to the death of the family. The other one's because I just didn't know the election. But it's very important that we have people who are educated. I talked to someone who has a really good voting record, but they vote for people who send them lit that is red. I kid you not. This woman told me she votes for candidates who send her lit that is red. So it's important that we educate our voters, one. And two, I want to go back to what you said earlier, Mr. DeSano's comment about the Southern strategy. I completely agree with it. I wish the days that people would just be honest with their feelings. You know, back in the 20s and 30s, people wore white hoods and white sheets if they felt one way. And that's just a lot more honest. And also, I'm not sure why this hasn't hit the mainstream media, but there is a congressperson in Colorado who called the president a tar baby.
Yeah, I discussed that, Kendra. I discussed it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I don't consider myself mainstream media, so we're good.
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, that was just deplorable. I'm an African-American, and I'm a Democrat, and I maybe not have liked everything that other Republicans have done, but I've based my opposition on fact and not on just who they are as a person.
Well, I'll let Joe speak for himself, Kendra. First of all, thank you for the call, and how can I quarrel? I can't quarrel with anything you've said. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, clearly Kendra is a very insightful person, and I agree with everything she said.
Hey, you're a strategist. I know one of the things you guys do is literature. How about that red strategy? Are you going to start sending out stuff just in red?
You know what? I use the color red almost strictly when I'm doing a negative piece, because obviously we're trained to see red as an urgent color, and there have been psychological studies that show that that it is an effective color to show urgency and also to send a negative message. So there's a little bit of a trade secret there.
All right. Well, now we're spilling the beans. All right. And I spoke with this with Dave Holtz a little bit yesterday. As we've discussed, Pete Hoekstra has joined the race against Senator Debbie Stabenow. But another name, one that you brought up but a few weeks ago, Gary Glenn has now said that, well, since he's formed a committee and he's raised money and by law he has to report that money, he might as well be a candidate, Joe.
Yeah, Gary Glenn has emerged from the glory hole and said that he's a candidate for for the U.S. Senate. I personally don't think that Gary Glenn could beat Terry Schiavo in a potato sack race, but I think he'll bring a interesting flavor to the race that I think will be to the detriment of Mr. Hoekstra. It's interesting. In his announcement statement, he intimated that there is very little difference in his mind between Hoekstra and Stabenow. He points to Hoekstra's votes for debt ceiling increases, TARP, and a whole series of, shall we say, non-conservative ideas. So he's positioning himself as the Christian right candidate in a race that I think could get more interesting than Pete Hoekstra really wants it to.
Well, you know, it's kind of fascinating because, as I said yesterday, and I'll repeat it again today, you know, Debbie Stabenow has the unique position, as many, and if not 99.9% of all incumbents, is they don't have a primary. So they get to sit back while the one side beats themselves up. Now, it'll be interesting because the candidates for the Senate, for Debbie Stabenow's seat, are some of them are quite untraditional. Some of them are really odd. Others have a track record which may not be terribly attractive. And so it'll be really interesting to see, Joe, the kind of mud they throw at each other between now and that primary day, which is a year from now.
Yeah, it's a whole 53 weeks, 52 weeks away, and I expect this to be very down and dirty. What I suspect that will happen is, right now we've got about five or six Republicans. I think what's going to happen is once they have to actually build the infrastructure to go collect their necessary amount of signatures, I think that process is going to weed some of these folks out. In fact, I think Gary Glenn, with his reach into the Christian right community and the remnants of the Pat Robertson Christian coalition that, you know, was incredibly successful here in Michigan in 1988, those people are still out there. And I think he's uniquely positioned to be able to get those signatures and emerge as a real challenger to what I expect to be a bloody primary on the Republican side.
Well, we will we'll certainly see that quickly enough. But not least with you today, I don't know if you've seen this national story, but Mitt Romney had a $1 million donation made into his campaign, actually to a PAC that supplies his campaign with cash. And the corporation that supplied that donation was built and taken away in about a three-month period of time. It seems like their only job was to donate that $1 million to the PAC. That now company has disappeared. They have closed their doors. Come to find out, as Michael Isikoff, who is doing the investigating, has discovered, there was never anybody in the building. So we'll see where that $1 million mystery heads, Joe. But in the world of politics, that's a lot of money.
Well, that's a lot of money. And also, Isikoff followed up with a report later in the day yesterday saying that that office that they claim to be working out of shared an office with Bain Capital, which was Mitt Romney's previous employer, where he, you know, made millions upon millions of dollars downsizing companies and killing jobs. So, you know, we have a broken campaign finance system in this country. It's bred with corruption. The Citizens United opinion by the Supreme Court only added fuel to the corrupt fire. And I think even if it were a Democrat that pulled a scheme like this, I hope that I would have the guts to call them out. This is so corrupt. It's so deplorable, and it's symptomatic of this awful campaign finance structure we have. And really, until you get public financing of campaigns, I think this is going to be the only way. The situation is only going to get worse.
Yeah, well, this is fairly insane. And as I promised folks, because these numbers have just come in, and Joe, a little good news, unemployment down one-tenth of 1%. In July, again, back to our May levels, but better than the June numbers, which, you know, showed a growth of only 18,000 jobs nationally. We see a lot more jobs than that being created in July. So ultimately, July is a month where we normally see a small dip. Happy to see that didn't happen. I don't know that it's going to be enough to turn anything around this week.
But it's a better number than even up 0.1%. So I'll take it, Joe.
Absolutely. The economy added 117,000 jobs last month, which is tenfold the previous month. You're starting to see, I think, hopefully, and I'm an optimist on this subject, you're starting to see an economy getting moving again. And, you know, I think it remains to be seen how much damage the Republicans have done with their recent antics in Washington, D.C. I mean, I would certainly point the dip in the stock market in the past week to the Republicans forcing a really, really awful budget deal and debt ceiling deal on the American economy. Go right ahead.
I was just going to say, we interviewed the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee and Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz yesterday. We aired it this morning, you know, and she reminded us in that interview, you know, the work that needs to be done as we work toward 2012. We also need to be mindful. The Republicans continue to get in the way of this president and any progress that he wants to make. It is my job, by the way, to point that out. For those of you that keep criticizing me for that, it's my job to do that.
Well, it also happens to be 100% true.
Oh, imagine that.
The Republicans have made the political calculation that it's more important to destroy this economy and destroy Barack Obama as a political entity than it is to get people moving and really alleviate some of the pressure that's on working people in this country.
Well, I just got an email from my usual hate monger, who I don't know if he just is a poor speller or is just so angry he couldn't get it right, but he just sent this: Obama is not my president. I did not vote for the bastard boy. That's bastard, B-A-S-T-E-R.
Yeah, but I think that's just symptomatic of the mentality of some of these people. I mean, you know, clearly, if you're going to call someone a bastard, at least, you know, have the dignity to spell it correctly.
Thank you very much. Joe DeSanto, I want to thank you for being with us this week. We will look forward to having you again next week.
My complete pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Joe DeSanto again with Main Street Strategies, and always enjoy having Joe on the show. You know, he used to do a podcast called Two Guys Named Joe, and I want to encourage him to find another Joe and start doing that podcast again, because they did kind of a right-left perspective and never forgot the middle. Joe's a very intelligent guy. I'm sure that's clear to all of you, although I know some of you don't agree with him. Joe is a very smart man and knows what he's talking about. When we come back, we are going to have the song of the day. Always dig a little Bob Marley there, Todd, so that'll work. And for those of you that keep writing me, those of you that are unhappy with me, well, I'm glad to know that I've made it into your daily world. It's good to know that we can spend time together every day. I'm just wondering, truthfully, how much we're really learning together. Isn't it sweet? All right, we'll take a quick break here. I've got to remind you, there's a rally tomorrow in Detroit to repeal Public Act 4, and you need to be there. Also, I'll be in Wyandotte tomorrow, and we want some of you to come out there as well. I'm Tony Trupiano. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW. This is Detroit's only progressive talk show. We'll be back.
With Tony Trupiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mug wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hey, Detroit!
Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see you, Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Home ownership strengthens families, builds communities, and creates jobs. To find out how home ownership can benefit you, contact an agent who is a realtor or visit houselogic.com/buy and sell. Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, 10 minutes before the top of the hour, we're going to get ready to check out for the weekend, but not quite yet. Can't punch out quite yet, folks. I want to remind you that tomorrow, from 10 o'clock on, at the 14th Congressional District Democratic Office at 2225 Livernois in Detroit, that's 2225 Livernois in Detroit, they have a rally to repeal the Emergency Manager Law, also known as PA4. If you'd like to go out there, then they're going to do some canvassing in that neighborhood, some education efforts, some signature gathering. So please head on over there. I, of course, will be helping to host the Wyandotte Democratic Club picnic tomorrow from noon on. I'm bringing some gifts to give away, limited supplies. So if you want something, get there early. The Wyandotte Dems are one of the more active Democratic clubs in southeast Michigan. I'll be there with Wyandotte Mayor Joe Peterson, who was a good friend, I'm happy to say. And I haven't seen him in a while, so I'll look forward to getting there. It's kind of like I said, going home. I used to own a restaurant in Wyandotte. And so I'll be interested to see a lot of folks I have not seen in a few years. So it'll be good to get back to Wyandotte. A couple quick things before we clean it up and really do take off for the weekend. There's an article in the Free Press yesterday, and it's the poll. Many local leaders say Michigan on wrong track after seeing lawmakers cut their funding and give financial managers sweeping new powers. Half of local government leaders say they think Michigan is on the wrong track, while a third saying it's headed in the right direction. So that's 33% or so. The survey released Thursday by the Center for Local, State, and Urban Policy at the University of Michigan also shows that 37% give Governor Rick Snyder a positive job rating, while just 21% give that rating to the legislature. 86% say their own governments are going in the right direction. The biannual survey was conducted from April 18th to June 10th and is based on respondents from 69% of the 1,856 local government units in Michigan. The margin of sampling error was plus or minus 1.5 percentage points, which is a very small margin of error. So, and basically what that says is that we believe in ourselves at the local level, we distrust at the state level, and we really, in fact, yesterday in the New York Times or the Washington Post, one or the other, a poll that said Congress's rating at an all-time historic low. Who thought that could ever happen after the Bush years and what that Congress was like? Well, they found a way to do it, didn't they? the division in this country right now, and because we've had so much time to focus on federal issues and national issues, being that our own legislature statewide has been on vacation, has been interesting. It's been a little bit of an eye-opener for all of us, has it not? Now, Congress is on vacation starting yesterday, well, technically today, but yesterday. And they'll be off until after Labor Day. Our own legislature will come back right before Labor Day, and then they'll take a couple more days off, and then come back to work, and then take a couple more days off. State government, you got to love the way it works. There's some really serious stuff that needs to get done. The question is, will the Republicans allow it to happen? They control the agenda. They control the agenda. But we're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to turn up the volume. We're going to stay in this fight until we win it. And we will win it. I promise you that is true. So there's just a lot going on. All right, let's take a survey around the room. Todrick the Bodrick Cherkinsky. That's, of course, that actually isn't our nickname for him, so don't even know why the hell I said that. What do you got going on this weekend? I know you're dissing us this morning and not doing the staff meeting.
Yeah, I got a little golf tee time coming up at 11, and I'm going to a concert tomorrow night at St. Andrew's Hall.
And who is at St. Andrew's Hall?
It's actually a band I'm not even very familiar with. It's called the Cold War Kids. I guess it's like an indie rock band, but it should be cool.
The Cold War Kids.
At least they're not called the Cold War Boys, I guess.
And that is true. That is true. So that is your weekend. You're almost graduating. One more week of Specs Howard and you're done, right?
One more week, I'm out of there.
Okay. Well, good. Congratulations. You're gonna graduate, right? That's not in question.
No, that's not in question.
Very good. Very good. So what do you guys like have a big project that you have to do towards the end? Like your final or something?
We have like a production demo and a radio demo to complete, and I've finished that a couple weeks ago, so I'm all groovy, all good.
So you're just hanging out for now?
Pretty much.
I like that. That works. All right, Radford, you working this weekend?
I sure am. You got it. All day Saturday, but I get to enjoy the Allen Park Street Fair tonight.
That's right. Why is that such a big deal? Is that like a family tradition or something?
I think they're trying to start it, which is kind of funny because my aunt was like, yeah, we go every year. My cousins were like, yeah, this is the first time we're doing it. So,
well, yeah. I mean, I've driven by it, and it's kind of weird because they cut it off right there on Southfield Road. That's like the dead end of it. But I think they do it like Friday and Saturday, right? It's only a two-day thing. I don't think they do it on Sunday.
You know more than I do. I just said I'm going because it sounds like fun, and it sounds like it would be a good time, and they all wanted to go. So it's been cool lately. And since I've moved here closer to the to this side of the family, then they want to hang out and do stuff more. So I'm down with it.
All right. Well, no, that's fine. It's nice that your extended family wants to do something. And then Sunday, are you working or do you have the day off?
No, I think I have the day off, It's supposed to like storm. Aren't we supposed to have intermittent storms? So
a 20% chance of storms all weekend. So if that's about as intermittent as it gets. I don't see it's going to be an issue.
Oh, well, you're my boy for looking that up.
Hey, I'm not your boy. Don't even go there. Don't you call me that.
It was fun. I had fun. It was fun with that discussion.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, you just don't see it in the proper way, but that's all right. I'm working on you.
No, the youth movement is here, and you have to realize that the youth changes the language that is used.
Yes, well, Papa's going to change it back, so enjoy it while you can.
See, now, Papa, that's disrespectful.
Well, calling myself Papa?
Yeah.
I can be disrespectful to myself.
Can you want to do a song of the day before we wrap up?
I don't know. Will Todd cry if we don't?
No. I think he's cool
either way. We should do Song of the Day. We have just enough time to do it, too. And I, of course, just closed it down, so you're going to take it. I don't even know what it is. I just closed my browser down, so go ahead. What is it?
All right, here we go. First of all, we'll do this.
Todd the Intern's
Song of the Day.
And he picked Time Will Tell by Bob Marley. He says, today we've touched on a number of subjects ranging from the stock market crash yesterday to unemployment numbers being released today. Only time will tell. If whether or not the state of our economy will approve.
All right. Well, a little bit of a stretch, but I'm still digging it. But you got to love Bob Marley, because I love Bob Marley.
Isn't that the point of Song of the Day?
Yeah.
You got to stretch it a little bit, and he's right on point with what we were talking
about.
No,
that is true. No question that's true. And I like how Song of the Day has become an important part of the show. And, you know, people vote on it because we get those likes and not likes, and so some of them are more popular than others. Anyway, that's it for us today. For Todd and Jeff, I'm Tony Truppiano. Again, off air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. Have a nice weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a final look at traffic, nothing going on out there. That's always a good thing. But this weekend, 94 westbound between 8th Mile and Gratiot is going to be closed for some road construction. So keep that in mind, only in the overnights, but still it should cause some minor issues if you're out there on the east side. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 86. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low right around 70. And then tomorrow, very slight chance for a shower or thunderstorm, partly sunny otherwise, a high in the mid to upper 80s. Currently, it's fair and 71 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want